A recent video going viral shows Israel's finance minister saying that the Jewish state must extend into Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. But he's been saying this for over a year.
Look, the Jordanians, for starters, did not like the statement, but even less the setting of the stage, with Smotrich giving the statement gave the address with on the podium was a map of Greater Israel that includes parts of modern-day Jordan, and that's what got Amman to blast the statement. They said that Smotrich's actions constituted an act of reckless incitement as well as a violation of international norms and the peace agreement between Israel and Jordan. The deputy speaker of Jordanian parliament took it a step further, calling on the Jordanian military to, quote, take up arms, and saying that all options should be on the table for Jordan, given the extremist statements.
Some Israeli soldiers wear the Greater Israel patch on their uniforms. Many Israelis believe it is prophesied by God, and the radical American prophecy Christians agree.
But what I'm saying is, I believe eventually our borders will extend from Lebanon to the Great Desert, which is Saudi Arabia, and then from the Mediterranean to the Euphrates. And who's on the other side of the Euphrates? The Kurds. And the Kurds are our friends. So we have the Mediterranean behind us, the Kurds in front of us, Lebanon, which really needs the umbrella of protection of Israel. And then we're going to take, I believe we're going to take Mecca, Medina, and Mount Sinai and purify those places.
You know, it's going to happen.
Ukrainian President Zelensky has said that he wants his country to become a big Israel. And while young Ukrainians are sacrificed for the U.S. State Department war with Russia, Jewish settlers from Israel are setting up homes in their place. We are told that Israel is defending themselves from Hamas, but a leaked telegram from Israel states that Hamas served as a useful countergroup against the PLO. In 2019, Benjamin Netanyahu said, "Anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of a Palestinian state has to support bolstering Hamas and transferring money to Hamas." The CIA, MI6, Mossad, and their intelligence counterparts have a long history of fostering terrorist groups and using them as the boogeyman to sell nonstop illegal wars in the Middle East. And do not forget that after 9/11, the United States Department of Defense planned on invading seven countries.
I went downstairs just to say hello to some of the people on the joint staff who had used to work for me, and one of the generals called me and he said, "Sir, you gotta come in. You got to come in and talk to me a second." I said, "Well, you're too busy." He said, no. He says, "We've made the decision. We're going to war with Iraq." This was on or about the 20th of September. I said, "We're going to war with Iraq. Why?" He said, "I don't know." So I came back to see him a few weeks later. And by that time, we were bombing in Afghanistan. I said, "Are we still going to war with Iraq?" And he said, "Oh, it's worse than that." He said, "I just got this down from upstairs," meaning the Secretary of Defense's office, today. And he said, "This is a memo that describes how we're going to take out seven countries in 5 years, starting with Iraq and then Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and finishing off Iran."
Israel and the United States continue to bomb Lebanon, murdering countless civilians, shooting young children in the head, and pushing closer to a war with Iran. A war that will inevitably pull Russia into the conflict. Why this is all happening is not entirely clear, but the late naval intelligence whistleblower, William Cooper, believed that he knew the answer.
Israel was created as the instrument to bring about the Battle of Armageddon and the fulfillment of prophecy, a war that would be so terrible, where nuclear weapons will be used, so that the American citizens and the other people in the world will get down on their knees and beg for no more war. And what is the answer to that? They're going to be told the only way we can guarantee no more war is if we destroy the sovereignty of nations and we come together as one.
All right, that's the latest Greg Reese report. You can find it at band.video and infowars.com. Greater Israel and America's Holy War. The War Room, coming up next. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, October 11th, 2024. This is the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters, with 24 days, 8 hours, and 53 minutes until Election Day. Count them down. Count them down. And we got some big election news today. And just because I probably want to do this in the first segment, guys, what is the status of the video list right now? So Kamala Harris had a town hall last night, and they didn't want you to know about it. They did not want you to know about it. And I do this as kind of a buffer just to find out how ineffective or intentionally ineffective their messaging was. I'll ask the crew. Did anybody on the crew know Kamala Harris had a town hall last night? No. No, they didn't. That's a very well-informed crew back there, by the way. They didn't want you to know. And by the way, half of it was for a Spanish-speaking audience. Yeah, it was in Spanish. It was on Univision. They didn't want you to know. Kamala Harris's media blitz in the last week and a half, has been so bad, and this was the big conclusion. This was the big grand finale. Was the town hall. And they didn't want you to know about it. That's how bad this media tour has gone. That's how bad this road trip for the Harris campaign has gone. Now they got Barack Obama campaigning for her. They got Tim Walz's wife campaigning for her. This thing is going down the tubes fast. And it's so bad. The Democrats are now coming out and they have all these voice boxes in the media and they intentionally leak stuff to the media. Really, you know, Axios is pretending like they got some sort of exclusive today. And I suppose they do. Other outlets are now picking it up, smaller outlets. Maybe they'll take this mainstream, but it's also a little embarrassing. But Jamie Raskin and others have said this on TV. The Democrats are contemplating not certifying Trump's victory. That's their big move. So if they can't kill him, if they can't put him in prison, if they can't separate his voters from him, if they can't cheat and steal it, if all their plans fail, that's going to be their final solution, is to just refuse to certify. And I've got to tell you, as I'm looking at all of this and analyzing all of this, I think that this now becomes the most likely outcome. I've said that Trump was going to win exactly 270 electoral votes. Maybe he is able to pull off one of these swing states, Wisconsin or Pennsylvania, maybe Michigan. Maybe he pulls one of them off. Point is, at this point, Trump is the heavy favorite. Trump is ahead huge. Everybody expects and anticipates Trump's going to win, including the Democrats now. They know Kamala is a complete disaster. This media tour completely tanked her campaign. They've got 24 days to try to save it. They don't have a plan. She doesn't have a plan. Nobody has a plan. And Obama ain't going to save it. And this whole deal of Obama coming out and ridiculing black men that won't vote for Harris, that's completely backfired. Even CNN is scolding him. CNN scolding him for that. We'll show you that. So I'm seeing all of this, and it's okay. Well, what are the Democrats going to do? They're just going to refuse to certify. And if you think about it, of course, because it's the greatest irony of all time. It's like the final level of irony to this political sham, to this political criminal organization that mostly just operates through the Democrat Party now, just because it's still entirely corrupted. The Republican Party has had a bit of a reformation. There's good people, non-corrupt people in there. Trump is the beachhead to get, you know, just the people to decide their future again. So, of course they're not going to certify. And I think it's even more magical, because I'm pretty sure the certification date is once again January 6th. I'm pretty sure it's once again January 6th. So we could be looking at a situation on January 6th, 2025 where the Democrats refuse to certify the election of Donald Trump. And of course, but it's this weird paradox where now that's the most likely scenario. That is now the most likely scenario, so then it becomes the most unlikely scenario. But that's now where we're at. The Trump victory is being anticipated, and the Democrats are leaking this through their voice boxes in the media. They're going on TV saying it. That's their final plan. And they're just going to say, oh, look, he's a felon and he's got all these legal charges and he led an insurrection. And they're just, you know, they'll throw everything else. He's a Russian. And they'll just refuse to certify. That's now the trajectory that we are on. Donald Trump is going to win. And the Democrats are going to say, nope, we just refuse to certify. Now, they still got other things in play. They'll probably be another assassination attempt. Who knows? Maybe they'll drop some new charges. But that's the current trajectory that we're on. And so the Axios scoop, that just means somebody inside the Democrat Party told them to publish this or basically gave them internal talking points or strategy for keeping Trump out. Some Democrats won't commit to certifying a Trump victory, published by Axios this morning. So that's their plan. And it's funny. I mean, even Axios recognizes the irony here, the paradox here. The Democrats are trapped between their deep distrust of Donald Trump and their vigorous denunciation of any election challenges in the years since January 6th. They're just liars, bro. They're just liars. So it just means that there is a group of Democrats. It appears like it's in the House. Maybe Schumer might have some influence over this. He kind of has influence over everything in the Democrats right now. But it looks like there is a group of Democrats in the House that have already decided they will not certify Trump's election. Jamie Raskin is one of them. They are not going to certify it. So now it's inevitable. Trump is going to win. Everything that they're going to try to kill him, to imprison him, to stop you from voting for him, to cheat to win, it's all going to fail. It's all going to fail. So then they're just going to say, you know what? No, we're just not going to certify it then. You think they give a damn that they sat here and cried about January 6th for 4 years? Do you think they give a damn that they've been talking about protecting our democracy for 4 years? No, these are lying political scumbags. They don't give a damn. You think they have any integrity? They don't have an ounce of integrity. They have zero integrity. They have zero ethics. And you'll sit here and say, oh, what about protect our democracy? What about January 6th? They don't give a damn. So great. I'm looking forward to it. But now that that's the likely, now that that is like the odds-on favorite to be this to be the finale here, now it becomes like the less likely. So it's like, okay, well, what are they going to do now? And then they publish stories like this in The Atlantic, and it's all over the world where they're doing this. We have to censor the internet because of Trumpian rhetoric. And then this is up The Atlantic. I'm running out of ways to explain how bad it is. That's the headline. And guess who makes the first paragraph? Alex Jones. InfoWars Alex Jones, who claimed that Hurricanes Milton and Helene were weather weapons unleashed on the East Coast by the U.S. government, and Truth Seeker accounts on X that posted photos of the condensation trails in the sky. Condensation trails. You're still believing that over the Atlantic? Alleged that the government was spraying Florida ahead of Hurricane Milton in order to ensure maximum rainfall. Now, I have said we're not some cult here at InfoWars. I don't know if these were weather weapons. Some people here completely believe it. Some people in the audience completely believe it. There's certainly evidence. You can look at the NOAA plane that flies right around the hurricane. That's a fact. Documented on the Alex Jones Show. You can look at all the government documents, all the government hearings, mainstream news interviews about weather modification. But see, they don't put any of that in the story. They just say, oh, condensation trails. They just say, oh, misinformation. Now, what's the purpose of all this? They want to censor the internet completely. They're not even hiding it anymore. They're not playing these games where they go into these portals with the FBI and they say, hey, this is fake news. You should censor it. No, they're going on television. They're publishing it in their mainstream magazines. And they're saying, we have to censor the internet. Hillary Clinton goes on TV. John Kerry goes on TV. Tim Walz goes on TV. You don't have a First Amendment. Because they're losing. They're losing so badly that they're not going to certify Trump's victory. They're losing so badly that they have to silence you, censor you, imprison you. And a lot of it is on the heels of this absolute disastrous town hall with Kamala Harris. I mean, disastrous. And then we can show you Obama campaigning for her, and we can show you some of the new political ads that they're running. It's all just, the bottom has fallen out here, ladies and gentlemen. It's completely fallen out. She's got new accents now as well. So here she gets pressed on the lack of hurricane response, and it doesn't go well for her in clip 12.
The administration didn't do enough in terms of relief for families affected by Helene. What would your administration do differently in the case of Milton?
Well, first of all, thank you for the question. I hope your family is okay and your home is okay.
Yes, they are, ma'am.
Okay. So there has been a lot of mis- and disinformation about what we have been doing over the last 2 weeks and what we are going to do going forward. And I have to stress that this is not a time for people to play politics.
She's the one playing politics. She hasn't been involved in any of the disaster relief. She went on a Call Her Daddy Slut Club podcast. She went on with Howard Stern. Then she just shoehorns her way into a hearing that she's had nothing to do with. She tries to point the finger at DeSantis. Even Biden disagrees with her. But see, what is it again? Oh, misinformation. Oh, you doubt that Kamala did a great job? You doubt that Queen Kamala doesn't do everything perfect? You doubt Kamala ever at all? You're censored. You need to be banned. That's the attitude here. Oh, it's misinformation because we're losing. Just go ahead and you might as well just consider it. Whenever they say misinformation, it's truth. That's what it is. Whenever they say misinformation, it's just the truth. So they don't want to censor misinformation. They want to censor the truth. We should all have that understanding. This whole thing is an embarrassment. Every answer is now how she is from the middle class. That's her way of deflecting from any question. But again, half of this was in Spanish. So what is even that about? Clip 14.
I used to spend $250 a week in food, and now it goes up to $350.
$200 to over $350 in groceries.
No nada más ha subido la comida, sino
not only do I talk about food, but utilities, clothes, everything is much more expensive.
Water, energy, clothes.
Sí, y bueno, pues yo como yo soy de la clase media.
I am middle class, and I work a lot, and just like everybody else in the middle class, we work very hard. You said we're ambitious, but that ambition, sometimes it's really difficult to keep up with because we see life is going up, and we just simply cannot go ahead. We can't move ahead.
And you said we're ambitious, but it's hard to maintain that ambition when conditions are so hard, so challenging.
Yes. Mi pregunta es, entonces,
so my question is as follows. What are you going to do?
The economy is so bad with Harris as vice president. Yep.
So that the cost of living does not destroy
us. Isn't that her $70,000 necklace she's got on again, too?
Thank you for the question. And your point, listen, I know prices are too high still. You know prices are too high still. And we have to deal with it. Here's how I feel about it. again, you've heard my story. I come from the working class. I'm never going to forget where I come from.
You come from two and college professors.
Part of what we have to do is build what I call an opportunity economy, where people have the opportunity, like you have described, for you to be able to work hard, and your five daughters have an opportunity to then do what they and what you aspire for them to be able to do without having to worry about just getting by. I want you to be able to get ahead.
Yes.
So here's my plan. It includes what we need to do to bring down the cost of, for example, groceries. One of the issues I'm going to be taking on is price gouging.
Oh, price gouging. Give us an example of price gouging. It's just unbelievable. So that's what she does every time. Oh, middle class family. Oh, opportunity economy. Oh, price gouging. No, it's not price gouging. When you raise taxes, when you inflict inflation, when you raise the cost of energy, guess what? Prices go up. That's called economics. Isn't it amazing? Notice how nobody here is chanting four more years. Notice how nobody here is talking about four more years. Kamala's not talking about four more years. Kamala is not talking about finishing the job of this administration. It's as if she's not a part of it. It's as if she's had no role in this administration. It's as if she's running against the current administration. And these people ask the questions like, yeah, we're all being crushed right now under this administration. What are you going to do? As if she's not part of the administration. As if she's going to do anything. And she's even said multiple times she's not going to do anything differently. And then she gives you the same platitudes. Middle class family, opportunity economy, price gouging, which is just complete garbage. She's not middle class. She's not from a working family. An opportunity economy is just a catchphrase. And price gouging is a lie. It's called economics. It's called the bad economy that we're all getting hurt by because of her. It continues. Everything. Any question you ask. She's from a middle-class family. Clip 18.
Good medical insurance.
And supposedly we have very good healthcare.
Los tiempos para ver a un especialista.
But the times that we have to wait to see a specialist are sincerely ridiculous. Ridiculous. Mm.
Después, finalmente, después de dos años,
finally, after 2 years of waiting, una resonancia al I was approved for an MRI.
Finally, after 2 years, I was able to get an MRI.
By the way, let's just pause it to give it some context, because it's important. This is a Navy veteran. He's complaining about the state of the VA. That's the problem here. It's the VA. Why is the VA struggling? Because the Biden-Harris team gave all the VA money to illegal immigrants and put illegal immigrants ahead of the line when it came to veterans. That's why he can't get an MRI. That's why. You want to know where you have to wait in line for medical care? In the countries that have government-run health care, like in Europe and in Canada. That's where you have to wait. Anybody can go get an MRI tomorrow. But when you're in the government healthcare program, no, not going to happen. So he's complaining about the VA, which was rejuvenated under Trump, and he gave you the private option. Then Biden-Harris destroyed that. And so that's so again, he's asking a question about a Harris-Biden policy that hurt him and then saying, what are you going to do? It's her own policy. She's the one that did it. But see, that context isn't provided. All right, but hey, she's from middle class. She's going to remind you. Go ahead.
That I needed to wait for over a month to begin my rehabilitation. So I made the decision to cross the border into Mexico, and in Tijuana I found a specialist without having to make an appointment. I went to his clinic, and in 45 minutes I was being taken care of, and my rehabilitation had begun.
And in less than 45 minutes, I was already seeing a specialist and having rehab.
My question to you is, what is your plan to improve the medical system?
Look, I come from the middle class. My mother was a working woman who raised me and my sister. Mm. My mother was able to finally, she saved up to be able to afford to buy a home by the time I was a teenager. Mm-hmm. I know everyone has ambition, works hard, has aspirations, but doesn't necessarily have all the resources that other people have.
She's in a middle-class family. Oh, well. Geez, all of a sudden my concerns about the economy and my concerns about the health care I can't get. I didn't realize you were in a middle-class family. Geez, I'm so relieved to know that. Finally, the stress can go away. I mean, let's just get through the rest of these clips here. Here you go. Fire clip 13.
So when we think about what's at stake in this election, whoa, it's packed with some stuff. It's packed with some fundamental stuff. I say rather articulately.
She says from the seal, she says behind the seal, the President of the United States seal. But let's go back. Let's go back. She's proud of her work. So everybody here is upset with her work. Everybody's here is asking her, what are you going to do to fix the problems because of your work? But she says she's proud of it. Clip 15.
South as well as what was coming north. So I will put my record up against anyone in terms of the work I have always done and will always do to ensure we have a secure border.
Oh, yes. You've done such a great job with the border. Such a great job. I think, is this the new accent maybe do we have here in clip 16?
Well, first of all, thank you for the question. I hope your family is okay and your home is okay.
Ah, yes, S.A. Ah, yes, I hope you're okay and I hope you and your familia are okay, okay? She's got them all down. She's got the Southern accent. She's got the Ebonics. She's got the white lawyer. She's got the Celtic. She's got the Hispanic now. Am I missing any guys? Did I miss any of the Kamala accents? She broke into that accent a couple times. Did I miss any guys? I think I got them all. Oh, the teleprompter. We'll go to break with that. She had a teleprompter at the town hall, and they accidentally put it on the camera. Oops. There's her teleprompter. This woman is a clown. So she's bound to lose at this trajectory. The Democrats are going to reject the certification. That's their plan right now, ladies and gentlemen. Wow, great performance, Kamala. Tell me again you're from a middle-class family. All right, I've got Dr. Scylla Emanuel in studio. We got Donald Trump live in Aurora, Colorado. He's going to be live in Nevada later. But she comes in studio. She sits down, and she tells me everything is going to be fine. She tells me that we have flipped the spiritual warfare. We're on the path to victory. I'm looking at it from a political standpoint. So let's get into the spiritual standpoint then, Dr. Scylla.
All right. Flipping the spiritual war. Listen, remember, in July, they had this DNC convention. During the DNC convention, they packed a Planned Parenthood truck right outside it, and they sacrificed like 30 babies. They killed 30 babies.
And they were doing the abortions. Uh-huh. They were doing the vasectomies, too.
Yeah, and that is blood sacrifice. So this is the thing with blood sacrifice.
Right outside the DNC.
Yes. So people thought it was awful. Just one of those, the DNC, they support a woman's right to choose and kill their babies. But it was bigger than that. So when we started praying, the Lord just put it in my heart, brought me a scripture in the book of Kings, in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 26. There was a time when Israel was fighting against Moab, and God was fighting for Israel. Things were going well. And then the Bible says here that 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 20, 2 Kings 3, 26, and when the king of Moab saw that the battle was too sore for him, he took with him 700 men that drew swords to break through even to the king of Odom, but they could not. Then he took his eldest son that should have reigned in his stead and offered him for a burnt offering upon the wall. And there was a great indignation against Israel, and they departed from him and returned to their own land. So this king took his child and sacrificed him on the wall, and the battle turned against Israel and Moab won. I mean, they did a worthy demonic sacrifice. So that is what the Lord started telling me, that what is happening right, what happened that time was that they did a worthy demonic sacrifice. And when that sacrifice took place, indignation turned against Trump. All of a sudden, Kamala, who was less popular than Biden, became like the most popular person. She was great. Everybody was like, yeah. All of a sudden, it's like people were looking at Kamala. It's like, but what is going on? I kept saying, Lord, what's going on with this woman? And then that's when the Lord told me that, you know, it was a worthy blood sacrifice, and the church has to bring a worthy sacrifice. We don't need to do a blood sacrifice because Jesus died on the cross already. So what did we do? We started prayer, round the clock, 24-hour prayer, 40 days to the election. We started this prayer 2.5 weeks ago. We brought it out. Many people are praying because it's not just me that God spoke to many prayer warriors. So there are many people running 24-hour prayer right now against what is going on. And guess what? The indignation is turning right around. In the past 2-3 weeks, they're like, oh, by the time we turn around, oh, swing states are turning to Donald Trump. This is happening. Kamala is doing this. All of a sudden, things are changing. Why? Because it was a demonic sacrifice. It was a spiritual thing that they did to turn America towards Kamala. Not only that, there's even a Facebook group where witches are practically binding Trump. They're holding, I'm telling you, if you look at my Twitter handle, there's a link to that place where they are actually having days that they meet to curse and bind Trump.
You're talking about the Democrats.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we are now praying and canceling those curses and breaking what they are doing.
You know, they
pleading for the blood of Jesus to go through the land and answer every blood sacrifice, pleading for the blood of Jesus to atone against the blood sacrifice. So the indignation is turning in the spirit. So the spiritual war is getting won. As the spiritual war is getting won, things are changing in the physical. And we are praying round, as I'm sitting here right now at our ranch, there are people praying round the clock 24 hours a day. We're praying. And I'm not the only group of people that are praying. There are many pastors, ministers, prayer warriors that God has raised. Because you see, God called Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't have to be a pastor. He's not called to be the pastor of the nation. He's called to be the president. But the man answered the call. And because of that, they've been just trying to destroy him. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Trying to kill him.
They've been trying to kill him. They can't kill him because there's a protection. We are praying for God to protect him. From everything that you're doing, you're realizing that there's a hand of God upon this man. Because if not, they would have killed him. But because God called him, he doesn't even have to be a Christian for God to call him. God called Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was a Babylonian king that was called by God. Nebuchadnezzar wrote the 4th chapter of the Bible. He didn't even have to be an Israeli. Cyrus was a Persian king that was called by God. Pharaoh, in the days of Joseph, he was a king that was called by God to make sure that they were able to preserve Israel during famine. So God can call people that are not even Christians. I'm not saying Donald Trump is a Christian or not. I don't know him personally. But I'm saying people need to stop going like, well, he's not a Christian. He's not being called to be your pastor. He's called to be able to be a bulldozer that bulldozes what these globalists are trying to do. And if we lose the battle right now to Kamala, you know the meaning of Kamala? Kamala is an Indian goddess of lotus. That means floating on the water. Do you know what I'm saying? Which is like the Bible talks about it in Revelation 17, the woman that sits upon many waters. The woman that sits upon many waters ruling the Babylonian system, which is the system in the end times. So this stuff is all spiritual. And if we don't realize this thing, if you don't understand this stuff, then you don't fight it in a spiritual way. You know, people are like, well, Trump has 3 baby mamas. It doesn't matter. It is not his personal sins that will bring problem for the country. It is legislated sin that brings reproach to a nation. Look at King Ahab. King Ahab was a king that had one wife. That one wife was Jezebel. She was a witch and then brought Israel into witchcraft and ended up putting Israel into captivity. King David, on the other hand, took somebody's wife, killed the person, had like 3 or 4 wives. In fact, King David, when they knew that King David was dying, was when they gave him a young lady and he didn't touch the woman. That shows you how bad King David was when he came to women. But he was a man after God's heart. His personal sins, he got judgment for his personal sins as a family. But he still brought Israel into righteousness. So I'm saying this to say that we have to realize that God can call people that will bring people into righteousness. Look at President Trump. Right in the next 2 or 3 weeks, he's calling pastors. I'm part of the people that are going. He's calling ministers from all over the country to come and talk to him and pray and see how we can lead the nation to righteousness. Do you understand what I'm saying? And these are things that we have to know. And when we know that, then we pray for God's will to be done. And that is why I'm saying that we understand the spiritual part of this battle. We understand that there's a lot of witchcraft going on. They are saying it. They are trying to change the minds of people. You see, Yuval Noah says that right now there's no free will. They can just hack the software of life, change our minds. So we're praying. We're saying we break the power of darkness over the minds of people. Please don't be showing those demonic-looking pictures. Please take them off. We break the power of darkness over the minds of people. We break the veil over the hearts of people, that people will see the light of the gospel. We tear that veil off so that people should wake up. You know, the hearts of the American people should do what God wants them to do. What is God's plan and purpose for this nation, and not what the devil wants to do? If true Christians can recognize what the enemy is doing, they will not vote the Democrats, because their agenda brings evil upon the land. I told one Christian pastor lady the other day, I said, do you know that the DNC actually packed a Planned Parenthood truck and killed 30 babies? She was like, for real? I said, you guys don't know, because you don't know that. How can a Christian in their right mind vote Democrat? It doesn't make any sense. But it's a veil, and it is prayer that takes this veil off. So that is why we're praying.
Well, I don't even want to get into the purists that are now telling you not to vote for Donald Trump if you're a Christian. I think that they have their own agenda. So I don't even really want to get into that mindset, because to me it's like, if somebody is coming at you and your family to kill them, mm-hmm. and you kill them first, that doesn't make you a bad person. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make you evil. And in fact, I think that the Ten Commandments are probably, you know, maybe lost in translation a little bit here. Do not kill. It's really do not murder.
Yes.
There is justified killing, I believe. Of course, I believe that. Yeah. So you know, if you're acting in self-defense of your family, then, and you kill somebody, I think that that's a justified killing. I mean, the courts would agree. So, but that's kind of my point. It's like this attitude of, oh, I'm not going to vote for Trump because I'm holier than thou. I'm a better Christian than you. Christians shouldn't vote for Trump. Well, I'm sitting here saying, now, hold on a second. If you're with your family and somebody comes at you and your family to kill them, are you going to say, oh, I shall not kill, and get on your knees and let them slaughter your family? I mean, to me, that's evil. I mean, to me, that's not godly. So I just, you know, that's kind of the analogy I make without getting too far into it. I'm not sure if that really is going to change the results.
They don't know the Bible, because if you go through the Bible, there were a lot of wars and people were killed through the Bible all the time.
I mean, the Old Testament is like, you know, it's like half
even
the thing
New
is
Testament,
war.
Even the New Testament, there was war throughout.
Half the Old Testament is war and then like weird war. Rules. No, yes. It's like rules. It's like 10 chapters of rules and then 10 chapters of war. It's like the temple has to be 400 cubits by 96 cubits, and
yes, thank God,
and the ark needs to be, you know.
You can't eat this, you can't touch that. Thank God for Jesus dying and bringing us under grace. But I'm saying that, right, war is justified. Death is justified during war, and people fight all the time. And I think part of the issue is that those that are sitting down and saying, well, why would they kill that person? If it is war, it's justified. But why would you kill an innocent child? If you go, you know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, Oprah.
Abortion is actually Molech worship. In the Bible, they had a god called Molech, where they would burn their children in fire and sacrifice their children to Molech. So abortion is Molech worship. So when you sacrifice your children through abortion, guess what it does? It becomes a blood sacrifice. And it gives the devil right to cause chaos in the nation. And it brings the nation under judgment. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, it is not how good Trump is or how good whoever is. It is legislated sin. Legislated sin is what causes a nation to fall, not personal sins. When you do personal sins, you pay for your own self. But legislated sin, that means sin that is put in power. That is what brings a nation down.
Well, it's just a survival instinct at this point. It's just survival of the nation, really.
Pray, yeah.
Oprah once thanked her dying mom for not aborting her. Now she says there's no American dream without it. And so she's done a campaign for Democrats. It was at the DNC, maybe even. She did a speech. I think I sent the crew it. If we don't have time to play it, we can just B-roll it. But she's promoted abortion now twice in this election cycle, once when she interviewed Kamala and then another time on the campaign trail. I also believe, and I just heard this recently in a headlines podcast, I don't know if it's Oprah that has a new book coming out, or she put a book on her book list or something, and it talks about a woman. I think it was about Oprah, but I couldn't find it anywhere. But talks about a woman who had an abortion and regretted it.
Do abortions.
Of course they do. And I think I thought it said it was Oprah. I just couldn't find any follow up. Maybe it'll come out later. And I'm just sitting here saying, so if that's the case, and Oprah's glad she didn't get aborted, you know, why do they come out and they do this promotion of it on the platform? But it's all the same thing. It's all for political power.
It's blood sacrifice. And sacrificing innocent babies can actually do that. I know the crazy part, because our tax dollars sponsor Planned Parenthood. all of us, our hands are all bloody.
Yes, it's
and so
true.
That is why we repent for the whole nation, and we repent for the blood guiltiness of the land, and pray that blood of Jesus will atone for the blood guiltiness of the land. That is how we intercede for the nation, because we have to repent for the nation, for everything, because it affects all of us. So we repent and cry out that God will show us mercy.
Well,
that's
yeah.
What we're praying for is that God will show us mercy and not let evil take over and rule.
It's
God is hearing.
It's the abortion of millions of babies. Mm-hmm. It's the illegitimate wars done in our name, mm-hmm. with our blood and our treasure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do have to pray for mercy.
Yes.
And
God is showing us mercy as more people cry out for mercy. God is a merciful God. And like I said, if we pray for mercy and ask for the blood of Jesus to speak for us, their demonic blood sacrifice would turn against them. So we're praying all kinds of crazy prayers like, God, expose Kamala Harris, set confusion in their camp, that they themselves will start exposing one another. Let the truth be told. Let the American people make a decision based on the truth, not based on some thing that people are thinking about, that the veil will come off the hearts of people. People will see the truth. They will know the truth, and the truth will be told. I tell people I support Donald Trump because God told me to. I don't know Donald Trump. I've never met him. But I know that, you know, God called him. And if God called him, that means God has a plan for America. They hate him because he's going to go against the globalists, against the elites. Like right now, even, you know, the UN just passed one of these things to be able to, because the WHO could not really bring together the WHO pandemic. They have a whole new thing right now that they've passed recently, so that way they can boot.
Yeah, the World Pandemic Treaty failed.
Yes, so they have a new treaty that they've passed right now, the UN, that they can actually make sure that, you know, everybody get digitalized. So the devil has a plan for humanity, and right now, Kamala Harris, the Biden's administration, they are gung-ho to sell America out. So they hate Trump because Trump is going to stand for America first, which is no, any country that wants to stand for their country first right now is going to be attacked by the globalists.
I wonder if Harris has done any blood sacrificing of her own. You know, she doesn't have any kids of her own.
We don't know.
But she's definitely been around the block, I would say, as it would seem. So I do wonder. Yes, there is your website, by the way, Dr. Stella. Yeah. MD, promo code Alex for a discount. I really love the Covey light.
Yeah. Yes,
that's my favorite.
You know, right now, I was just talking about, you know, like right now they are bringing mask mandates back in California?
No.
Gavin Newsom.
No, I don't believe
you. Bring back mask.
You're lying.
Mandates.
You're lying.
I say that putting on a mask, these cloth diapers and things to filter COVID, it's like putting on a chain link fence to filter a mosquito. It doesn't work.
Wait a second. But are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
They're bringing mask mandates back?
Yep. I don't know what I had the article here somewhere.
Well, listen, they came out and you were one of the first people and you stood on the steps of the Capitol. You stood up. You spoke out. At the beginning, you were one in a very few number. Now there's a lot of more people that are willing
mask
to talk about it.
To several
Good Lord. Mm-hmm. Oh, my. Mandates?
Yes. Okay. They have a new COVID strain called the...
I can't even deal with this.
XEC COVID strain. That is really, really, they say it's about to take over.
They always got a new number.
Yes, they have a new COVID strain. And so with COVID...
Bird flu. They're building it up. They had a third bird flu case in California.
Yes.
Third. Oh, wow. Three.
So now with COVID, bird flu, RSV, winter is coming. I tell the American people, go on our website, get vitamin C, zinc, and quercetin. Zinc.
Is quercetin in Covilite, I believe, right?
No, quercetin is in Covilite. It's in Covivites. It's in Covisleep. It's in Covitas.
It's harder to find out what's not in Covilite, actually.
I know, right? Covilite is like the best ever because it has all the vitamins you need, all the minerals you need. And then it has like quercetin. It has N-acetylcysteine. It has everything you need. Taking Covilite daily is good enough to just keep you healthy. But here's the thing I tell people. I said, don't wait till you get sick. Right now, all these RNA viruses, COVID, flu, bird flu, dengue, Zika, all of them, they're RNA viruses. Jeez. And they are sensitive to zinc. But zinc cannot enter the cell. So zinc needs something like quercetin. So we have it. If people are having sleep issues, we have COVID sleep, COVID vite, COVID light, we have all these things that have quercetin that you should take on a daily basis to stop you from getting sick. And I tell everyone, listen to me, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. Don't wait till you're sick. Don't wait till things get crazy. Don't wait till they lock us down again. Get it right now so that you can have something that will take you throughout the winter. You know what I'm saying? And of course, we still have monkeypox. We have declined too. Between January and now, they've had about 13,000 positive cases of monkeypox in America.
Isn't it just an STD, basically?
Not quite. The Clyde 2 is more transmitted sexually because they have more physical contact, but it can be transmitted by just physical contact, even through like blankets. Mm. So we have Sarracenia purpura on our website. It's called Pox Defense. It's an HO formula that was used against smallpox. Just get it, keep it in your medicine cabinet. That's what I tell everybody. Just make sure that you're safe. And if you use Alex on my website, you get a discount. But here's the main thing. If you use Alex on our website, we are donating at least 30% of that proceeds to help Alex. Reason is, Alex has fought this battle for us. They are coming against him in every single way. That is why I'm standing with him, solid behind him. And you, the American people, you need to stand solid behind him. Make sure you go to the InfoWars stores, you buy something, the Alex Jones store, buy something. If you buy anything on drstellamd.com, we basically will donate 30% of that. You know, we're not going to make much out of it. We're just going to donate 30% to Alex because I believe in the work that he's doing. He can't fight this battle in front line for all of us, and they were not there helping him. So that is why I'm, you know, doing all my best to make sure I stand with Alex. And you too, you should stand with Alex. Make sure that you know, he's doing the work. He's taking all the hits. Nobody's sponsoring him. He doesn't have some company that is some pharmaceutical, big pharma company that is giving him several millions. So he needs the people that he's fighting for. Nobody goes to war and pay for themselves. He needs the people that he's fighting for to stand with him. And one of the biggest way that you can stand with him right now is to make sure that you're shopping on his website. We sell things that help the American people stay healthy. So stay healthy and then also help to support him.
And it's all manufactured in Houston, right?
In New Jersey, actually.
New Jersey, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. But we actually have a company, an American company, that actually does all our manufacturing. We put together what we want. Like, we'll sit down and say, okay, you know, we need to get something to help people with COVID long symptoms, you know, strength, energy. They will put the formulation together and they will send it to the company and then they will manufacture it the way we specify it.
So 2 weeks ago, I think it was 2 weeks ago, maybe it was just a week ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. The Daily Mail comes out with a story, headline, young people, fit people, athletes, healthy people are having heart attacks at an alarming rate. And then they go into these numbers and the data is undeniable. It's basically doubled. But then they blame everything except the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Well, now a new study has just come out. COVID infection linked to sharp increase in long-term risk of heart attack. But actually, when you get into it, it's the COVID-19 vaccine that's actually causing these things. So now all of these things are admitting, mm-hmm. and there's actually probably other headlines, folks and crew, that actually tell the truth about it and talk about the vaccine causing the cardiovascular issues. Mm-hmm. Actually, they say it doubles within 3 years. It doubles. And then with every new dose you take, it doubles again.
Yes.
So this is all the data that's finally come out and admitted it. And it's just like, they still tell you to get it, though.
I know, because they want to kill people. You don't know that? You know that, of course.
But it's just insane to me that they have no shame.
They have no. Till today, the hospital protocol still don't have hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin. Till today, they are still telling us that this
is
not
work. I would rather go eat horse paste than take it.
Do you understand what I'm saying? And you know why I say that it's good for you to be prepared to get the vitamins you need, get hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin in your medicine cabinet? Because if you are prepared, you will not be scared of whatever is coming. You know what I'm saying? If you have your pox defense in your house, they say monkey pox, you're not going to run and go take the vaccine. So they want, you know why they want to do mask mandates? Because it scares people. Mask is just a mind control device. People are wearing masks all over the place. Everybody's like, oh my God, we're going to die again. And then they can now tune your head and you can go take more vaccines. Why are they giving you these vaccines? They want to make money, yes, but that's not the main issue. They want a depopulation, human 2.0, and digital ID. It's coming.
Well, I talked about that yesterday. They have to understand the management class, mm-hmm. the global management class. They look at the earth like a life vest or like a lifeboat, rather. And so everything has to be rationed. Everything is finite. And to them, that's like their philosophy, is that they're going to create this management class, this global bureaucracy to manage the entire planet. It's the end of human freedom as we know it. But they have to basically treat you like cattle in that process. And so they have to mark you. They have to chip you. They have to monitor you. And eventually you'll just reach a point where you'll just have to get their permission to even have kids. but you probably won't even be able to actually reproduce or have kids like we would now. It'll be some synthetic way of doing it.
Do you realize that they're not human? I say that. If I go on that,
the more you see these people,
they're not human. If you read in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, verse 43, 44, said it's going to come in the last days, iron will mix with miry clay. That means non-human will mix with clay, which because we're made from clay. These are not human beings. Because they are not human beings, they want human beings to come under complete, total control and slavery. Yuval Noah said this recently, that artificial intelligence is actually alien intelligence. And that what they're going to be selling in the future is going to be bodies and minds and brains. And, you know, so they talk about, you know, downloading your brain, putting you a new body, giving you everlasting life, that humans are becoming gods. You should kind of look at his book called Homo Deus. Instead of Homo sapiens, Homo Deus, that's human gods. So they believe that they are upgrading humans to gods, and people are going to be gods from Silicon Valley and all the technology that they are producing. And I tell people, when we say this thing, for years I've been saying that these people are not human beings, they are demonic entities in human form. I'm like, Dr. Stella, calm down. They are now saying it themselves. Even if you don't believe that this thing is spiritual, if you don't believe that these things are demons, they themselves are saying it, and they believe it, and they are talking against God. And, you know, why would Yuval Noah come out and say something like, you know, this whole thing is about, you know...
Well, because he does think that people are stupid.
No, he's demon. He's demonic. He's probably the false prophet. He's actually talking about deep spiritual demonic stuff. And people need to take it seriously.
Well, they feel that that COVID vaccine was one of their first tests to see if they can get everybody to drink the Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. It wasn't fully successful.
Yeah.
But we've exposed them. Dr. Stella, always love to have you in studio.
Yes.
DrStellaMD.com. Use promo code Alex for a discount and to help support us today. Yes. All right. So the American Academy of Pediatrics has this event. And they invite all these different medical groups, doctors, what have you. And one group that was there was the Alliance for Mental Health, but they warn about the dangers of transgenderism and the propaganda that leads kids to this and then the life-altering stuff. And so then they tried to kick them out for that, and so here's that in clip one.
And then we're going to have to exit the
floor.
Okay?
Oh.
So,
can you tell me your name?
Yes, my name is Chris. Okay. I'm with Simmons Security.
Okay.
We are hired by the client.
Can you not do that?
That's
which,
all
which
the
client?
Okay. So just so you know, one of the individuals in your group violated the code of conduct last year at the fair booth, and because this group is affiliated with the individual, we need to collect the name badges,
which
are property of the show. I cannot. I'm going to give you information, and those people will give you that information, okay?
Are they coming over here?
No, ma'am, not at this time. After we're over here, you'll have this contact information, and you can reach out.
The code of conduct. You have to love trans kids.
So that person might not be here.
You have to love mangling children. You have to love chopping up little boys and little girls.
Are other people being removed today?
We're not even here with that organization, so I'm not even sure why we would have to go. I'm not even affiliated with them.
I can't do anything about it other than what I was told.
This is the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Yes, you can look over my shoulder and look at it.
Okay, perfect.
But just
I guess they support chopping up kids too.
So wait, did we violate? I'm just confused. Did we violate code of conduct this year?
I am not. Do not have that information.
Okay, but you're authorized by the company to act on their regard by AAP.
They ask us to do this, correct. And they will give you, they're the ones that have the contact information. You seem like the lady.
So you're kicking us out for something that somebody, you don't know who they are, that did last year.
I did not.
Because we don't even know.
I'm just trying to understand, I'm sorry.
I know, and I apologize, we do not have the information.
Sure.
These people have that information.
Okay.
So all we're asked to do is to collect your name badges, and then go ahead and break down the site, and then we need to escort off the floor. Okay. If we don't have the name badges, we need to let everybody in your party know, because if they come back on here, what we're trying to prevent is any kind of trespass. Okay?
Sure. Understood.
So we're just trying to be as friendly as possible. We don't know the whole situation.
Right.
It's not our job to
know
the whole
situation. Yeah, I can tell you. They don't want detransitioners here at the AAP. They want to pretend that they don't exist. And, you know, what's really sad is our information was
They don't
really
want the victims of trans surgery to speak out.
Here. We're very concerned about the mental health of people with gender dysphoria, and it's really time that the AAP acknowledge that harm is occurring.
That would be something you would have to take up with them. So I apologize, but if we could collect the name badges and politely ask you
So how long do we have?
We got about 5 or 10 minutes.
Okay, because it's going to take us some time.
And then we're going to walk you guys out.
Right, but it's going to take some time. Do you have the ability to help us with the table and chairs? Because I have a car. We're not going to be able to carry all this stuff. We've got two with back issues. And
it's going to take at least two chairs.
And we don't want to leave any.
It's fine. You guys can take whatever chairs you need, but we can just start packing things up and everything. But first, let's just grab. Let me get these badges on you guys. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Will we be able to get back
get
in
those so badges?
Yeah, you'll be escorted.
Those women, those mothers that are trying to protect kids, take their badges. Shut them down. That's something, isn't it? That's the cult right there. That's the cult that now runs the medical industry. And really, when you look, this is nothing new. The medical industry is almost wholly corrupted, and it's not entirely corrupted because, yeah, there's still good doctors, and I mean, there's nowhere else you're going to go. You get in a car accident or, you know, snap your leg in half or whatever, you know, modern day medical technology is what you need. It's what you want. But this is the cult where, hey, those mentally ill kids that want to mangle themselves and chop off their genitals and breasts, you know, we can make money off that. And then we make money off that for the rest of their lives. So, hey, somebody's getting in the way of their profits. You got to shut that down. Kind of like cancer cures and everything else. You got to shut that down. That's a profit center. All right, into hour number two of the InfoWars War Room, your election headquarters. My next guest is Mike Crispy. We're going to get crispy here. Maybe even extra crispy. We'll see. But it's funny because when I see somebody that gets attacked by the establishment, both sides, by the way, both sides of the establishment, the radical left that hates us and our country, and then the establishment right that is hating the fact that it's losing control over the Republican Party, when you get both sides attacking you, then I know you're good. And so Mike now is, I call him Mr. New Jersey now. It's up for debate. Is he the worst guy in New Jersey? Is he the second worst guy? There's conflicting reports right now, but you can't go anywhere in the media in New Jersey without seeing his face. And he speaks at Trump rallies, and so he's obviously doing a great job. And let me just start it with this, Mike, and we'll kind of get into why you're public enemy number one for the New Jersey Republicans and Democrats. Is New Jersey in play? I think Trump wins New Jersey in a fair election. Now, you and I both recognize that this is not going to be a fair election. I don't know the ins and outs of New Jersey elections like you do. I see a Trump victory in New Jersey if the election is run fairly, cleanly. What is going on right now with New Jersey? Is New Jersey in play?
Well, Owen, it's great to be on. Great honor. Longtime InfoWars faithful right here. I got to tell you, here's the thing. Republicans and Democrats in this state do not like Donald Trump. Obviously, we know why Democrats don't like Donald Trump in this state. They're leftists, they're whack job, they're loons. They're putting porn in schools, okay? They want to keep raising taxes. They love big government. But the Republicans in this state are controlled by the Chris Christie acolytes and sycophants who aren't holding on anywhere in this country except for New Jersey. They still control the party. So we are breaking them like they've never been broken before. Obviously, President Trump came here and had a rally in South Jersey in Wildwood. He had over 100,000 people at that rally. But ever since that time, it wasn't just the rally where a big crowd came. There's also been multiple polls in New Jersey, three specifically that come to mind, one that had him down 5, one that had him down 3, and one that had him in an even contest. So those are three polls, and they're not like, you know, fringe polls. This was like Emerson College poll, Rasmussen polls. He's polling over 50% in the state with Hispanics. He's polling over 30% with Black people, okay? And that's even higher with Black men. So people are worried about the fact that this guy might actually win the state. And when President Trump makes the play in a place like New Jersey, he inspires the grassroots. He inspires the masses. He inspires people to run for Congress and run at the local level. And all those positions are controlled by the Chris Christie mafia. I know it's hard to believe, Owen, you know, the national audience, that Chris Christie is in any way relevant, but he still controls this state party. But we are breaking him down. And all these polls actually have Republicans scared because they don't want the attention on the state because they don't want Trump to win. But obviously, we're doing everything we can. That's why they don't like me, holding events all around the state, getting things done for President Trump, doing too big to rig. We've held 21 events across the state this year. We have 9 more now through Election Day. They'd rather me just sit at home and, I guess, you know, hope that we don't lose by 16. These people are insane.
Well, and it doesn't really get talked about much. People just assume New Jersey is going to go blue. And I suppose you just look at recent Electoral College history. Okay, fine. I think New Jersey is legitimately in play. New Jersey carries more Electoral College votes, I believe, in Arizona and Nevada. So, I mean, it's a serious state to play for, I would say. So the fact that you're actually putting it in play and getting boots on the ground and, you know, really, if you look at the Republican Party, which I'm really no fan of, but Trump has kind of reformed it in a way, maybe even unintentionally. And now there's kind of a new attitude. There's a vibe shift within the Republican Party. And you feel the establishment types, the Chris Christies that we don't really like, the Lindsey Grahams who gets booed at a Trump rally, they're kind of losing their hold over this party and they don't like it. And so maybe they feel, hey, if Trump flips New Jersey red, that's like a stake in the ground that says no. Like Trump, the Trump attitude, the Trump vibe, the Trump voter is the future of the Republican Party. Everything else is left behind.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's funny because the Republicans in this state, and this is why they attack me so much, they say, oh, we need to compromise on these issues. We need to support. This is what the Republicans say in New Jersey. Can you believe it? We need to support abortion up until birth, like the Democrats. We need to be accepting of the radical trans ideology being shoved down kids' throats in schools. We need to work with the Democrats when it comes to tax and spend. This is what Republicans say. And they say, oh, well, we need to do that to be competitive in a state like New Jersey that's a blue state. Absolutely not. You're totally right, Owen. Trump turns that upside down on his head. Trump is Trump. And with him polling so close, it actually proves to everybody that his policies are the policies that resonates with the electorate here. Now, it's so easy to break it down. Everyone's like, what are you talking about? South Jersey's overwhelmingly red. North Jersey is purple. Okay. And then the urban areas, President Trump is gaining in the inner cities. He's picking up, you know, 10, 15 points in any like urban center. So when you do well in the purple area and juice up South Jersey, which where it's super red, you can win it as 14 electoral votes, which I believe you're right about that compared to Arizona. So not only him winning here is big, but even if he's playing close, what does that do, Owen? It makes the Democrats have to decide where to send their resources. They say, wait a minute. We have to take resources now out of Nevada and Michigan and Wisconsin and go drop them in Central Jersey in order to stay tough. That depletes their resources in swing states. New Jersey's not supposed to be a swing state in their eyes. So that's kind of been the mission of what my group, the America First Republicans, are doing. And we spoke about it at the Trump rally in Wildwood in May. And ever since that time, you know, the fake news here and a lot of the Republicans, they've just been going crazy. And they released this massive hit piece in our biggest paper called Project Extreme, where they say Mike Crispy is an extremist because he called illegal migrants who rape and kill young women, because he called them vermin. That's extremist rhetoric, because he supports book banning. They call it book banning because he supports not having porn being the school. He's an extremist. And because he supports no foreign wars and lowering the cost of, you know, groceries, that makes them an extremist. So they're trying to do that. They're working together. And the funniest thing, Owen, is that hit piece that they put out on me in the paper in my group. Everyone says that was initiated by Republicans in the state. So it's Republicans working with the left-wing press to, you know, take on myself and my incredible group from actually making a change. We're out there doing the work. They don't want us to work. They want us to sit and let the Christie Mafia hold on to their little power. It's pathetic.
Well, anytime somebody like you or myself tries to get involved in Republican Party politics, and you know, for me, it was different. I was in broadcasting. I wasn't trying to go, you know, knee deep into the political movement here. I just had some locals reach out and say, hey, we want to get you on a precinct chair. We'd like to get you to be a delegate. We got some openings. We can bring you in. There should be no resistance. And then, of course, the local, you know, Republican swamp establishments, they actually literally had me escorted out of their events with security. So I just said, whatever, you know, I'm fine. I'm not going to fight this uphill battle. The point is, when you do try to get, oh, and some of the biggest donors in this county, I mean, the biggest Republican donors in this county would pull me aside and be like, hey, what do we need to do? We control the purse strings here. We can get you in. I was like, hey, just let's just wait. Let's just have their thing out. We're going to take over the party eventually. Anyway, my point is that when somebody that's actually trying to help things and that's actually trying to help the country, even you might say anti-establishment, both parties will turn against you. Both powers that be will turn against you. Here's our obstacle. And I think that it's actually a great thing that they're attacking you right now, really, because, I mean, that's why you're on this show. I saw them attacking you. I said, I want this guy on. So it's actually a great thing. It's kind of a paradox, but it's true. You know, next thing they might try to put you in prison or something. But our biggest problem is messaging. Right? We're up against a propaganda machine on both sides. We're up against the, you know, 90% of the media, and they have all the push notifications, and they have all the passive audience members, and they just control that entire apparatus, and so they can kind of control the messaging. The challenge we have is getting people to understand what Trump really represents and what the people that vote for him are really trying to do. This is an anti-establishment, anti-corrupt government, anti-corrupt media, anti-war movement that we have right now. We're voting for the Constitution. We're voting to ensure our rights. We're voting to secure our border. And then the passive American that doesn't stay politically informed thinks it's all about abortion, or they think it's Trump is a dictator and it's, or Project 2025. That's our biggest issue, is winning on the messaging. So when they put the attention on you, it gives you the opportunity to actually bring the message home.
Yeah. And I'll say this. I mean, these people are so unimpressive. You look at the reporters who show up to our events who are trying to write the hit piece. These are weak people. You look at the Republican chairs who are attacking me. Just look at what they look like and look at the way they type. Look at the way they go in social media. Look at how they act when you throw one punch. Okay, we have a Senate nominee in this state who has been totally co-opted by the Never Trump Christie wing, and they're telling him support abortion up until birth. They're telling him to distance himself from President Trump because of his migration policy, because they say it's too controversial for a state like New Jersey. I'm sorry, people in New Jersey are seeing it worse than ever. Where do they send the migrants? They send it to our cities. Who funds that? We do. What do the migrants do? They come into Newark and they come into Patterson, and then they permeate out into the suburbs and they get dumped into a nice small town in West New Jersey in some Holiday Inn that has a lot of vacancy. Government pays top dollar to put them in the hotel, and then the good people of the community have to deal with those migrants walking door to door, stealing, eating the cats. Yes, eating the cats, and causing crime, burglaries, rapes, etc. So my position has always been this. When you stand up to these bullies, they fall because they're not that smart, and they rely on low information voters. They rely on people not paying attention. And that's the number one thing with Trump, is that he brought into the fold millions of people who never paid attention before. And that's their greatest fear, Owen, is that after Trump is gone, okay, I would say the number one thing lasting from the Trump movement, from the MAGA movement that pisses these people off, is that 5 years, 10 years, 15 years from now, Trump will be long gone. His legacy will be sealed. But there are so many people who forever got woken up to the absolute game, the death jab, the mask, the mandates, the nonsense, new world order, globalism. They didn't know what any of this stuff was. And quite frankly, if they heard it, they'd say, well, that's fringy. I don't know. And then President Trump absolutely blast the megaphone on it. People go, wait a minute. They start to do research for themselves, and then they become awake. And that's what these people don't like. People who are engaged in the process. They want us asleep because they want to control the small sector in which they have. That's why InfoWars is great. That's why Trump is great. That's why this movement scares them in perpetuity.
Yeah, I don't think the movement goes anywhere politically. And I look at a media example of this too. You know, take the last two probably top rated hosts on Fox News that, I mean, were really just far ahead of everybody else. And that would be Bill O'Reilly and then Tucker Carlson. Obviously, neither is at Fox News now. But, you know, Bill O'Reilly was, and probably still is, viewed as more of an establishment neocon guy. He doesn't put up numbers anymore. I mean, he still does a podcast. He tried to do a tour and the ticket sales were so bad, I believe they just had to cancel it. I think Trump even ended up canceling on him because it was such an abysmal deal. But then there's Tucker Carlson. Since he's been canceled by Fox News, his podcast is bigger than ever. He's filling up hockey arenas with his tour that he has right now, where he brings guests on like Alex Jones. So, I mean, That's kind of the difference. It's like Tucker here, who really is pro-America, anti-establishment, they tried to cancel him and say, you can't do it without Fox News. Well, he can. He's proven that he can, and he's not going anywhere either. Whereas Bill O'Reilly, more of an establishment guy, probably couldn't do it without Fox News and now is not doing it without Fox News, kind of just disappears into the wind. So I think it's the same thing with the media, too. This movement is not going anywhere, and it really has changed the media landscape, I think, too. And see, I look at somebody like you. I'm part of the media. I look at somebody like you, and I think, okay, here's a guy that goes up and speaks at Trump rallies. Here's a guy who's on the ground in New Jersey changing the political culture of the Republican Party. You're not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And so I get a little excited. I look at Mike Crispy and I think this is the future of the Republican Party. This is where it's going.
Well, I'll tell you this. Thank you, Owen. That does mean a lot coming from you. Tucker, so I ran for Congress once a couple of years back, and I went on Tucker's show when he was still on Fox News. And we got on the topic, we were talking about guns, but we talked about Ukraine. This was early on in the Ukraine conflict. And I said, this is an absolute scam on epic proportions. We're giving the aid. It's going to be endless. There's no mission. This is a globalist money laundering scam. Tucker obviously was one of the first people talking about that. But you know the craziest thing, Owen, is I went back on the campaign trail after that. This is back in 2022. And some of the old establishment types were attacking me, like against me in my race, for saying that I wasn't standing with Ukraine. How out of touch can these people be? So you see that where Tucker, Alex Jones, you, myself, we've been on the cusp of this. Roger Stone, great friend. We've been on the cusp of this. And the establishment types are clueless. I'll tell you something else. You showed the bio at the beginning. I'm a delegate for President Trump. And so because of that, I've attended some quasi, you know, RNC functions and events and stuff like that. And I was actually at the first presidential debate. I wanted to go because this was the debate that President Trump didn't participate in. But I wanted to go just to assess the scene, right? So I go to the debate. I'm in the arena. And Vivek Ramaswamy is talking about Ukraine. Nikki Haley is debating him on Ukraine. And then when they go to commercial break, all of the people in the room who were the party people, they were like, oh, you know, Vivek is just so bad on foreign policy. And Nikki Haley is just so great on foreign policy. And I'm like, what? I'm like, these are the people who run the party in the respective states around the country, the ones who are celebrating Nikki Haley's foreign policy. So that's the thing, Owen. After Trump, after 2024 election, after, you know, 2026 midterms, 2028, we need people to carry this baton because we can't go back to the Nikki Haley's of the world, the John McCain-esque, the eye patch McCain, Dan Crenshaw's, who are the mainstream dictating, you know, our party's foreign policy. It's a scam. So I've seen the way the mainstreamers think because I've kind of got into it a little bit because of Trump. And I've seen how bad it is, and that's why we need to be more vigilant than ever and keep having people like you, me, everybody wants to speak out. If it's in your heart, you got to do it. Otherwise, these psychos will try to take it back over again.
Well, it really is a populist movement that we have here, and I understand because I'm not a political purist. I won't speak for you. I'm not a political purist. I'm sitting here, and I look at the times we're living in, and I'm saying, look, we need to come together on things that are obvious that will benefit every American. We need to have secure borders. We need to have less taxes. We need to completely shift the paradigm on foreign policy and foreign aid. And let's just deal with those things. And then we can deal with some of this other more political footballs that get punted and tossed back and forth and fumbled and intercepted and everything, you know, a little bit down the road. Let's complete this populist reformation of the Republican Party. And let's get some common sense policy to get the ship in the right direction. And then we can deal with this, some of this other stuff. And you bring up Vivek Ramaswamy. This is a perfect example, I think, again, right here. You look at the one debate. Funny enough, I actually got to watch it in prison. When Vivek Ramaswamy basically wrecked Nikki Haley. I mean, just wrecked. And so Nikki Haley is still kind of clinging on to her political life. I think she just got a show on Sirius XM. But guess what? Vivek Ramaswamy has a show as well on Sirius XM. And so, you know, Nikki Haley's on her way out. She doesn't really have much support left. Same with Lindsey Graham. If either one of these people went to a Trump rally, they would be booed out of the building. So they won't even probably show face at a Trump rally anymore, let alone speak. Whereas Vivek now, I mean, people are begging him to run for governor of Ohio. He's not even in the race. He doesn't even want to. And he's leading in the polls. He's not even a candidate, and he's leading in the polls. Personally, I don't live in Ohio. I'd rather have Vivek Ramaswamy in Trump's cabinet, you know, up there with Elon Musk running the efficiency, you know, administration, whatever that is. So that's kind of another example of the shift. Vivek Ramaswamy on the rise. Nikki Haley, loser, failed, on the decline.
Well, and I think it's a very fundamental thing. Where did Vivek Ramaswamy come from? Where did Nikki Haley come from? Where did Donald Trump come from? Where did Chris Christie come from? Okay, the people who we don't like are grown through the political system. Okay, they start off as a council person, then they go to the county thing, then they're in the assembly, and then they, you know, they wait their turn, they get their shot, but all along the way, they've been co-opted by, you know, by the people who put up the money, as Trump would say, the people who want to control them like little widgets on a chessboard. The beauty of a President Trump, the beauty of a Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk and these people getting involved is that these people are independently wealthy when they get into it. And when you're independently wealthy, when you get into it and go straight for the top, again, I went straight to Congress, almost won in a five-way primary against a 42-year incumbent at the time. Everyone's like, where did this guy come from? If you go straight to it and you basically jump the line that Christie waited on, the line that Nikki Haley waited on, that scares the hell out of
these
people.
I'm sorry, you start talking about Chris Christie and lines, the buffet line immediately comes to, I can't, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, buffet line.
I'm sure he's been in a few, yeah.
Remember the picture when Trump had the picture of him at the Bojangles leaning over, getting the food? He's a disgrace to our state and our country. But Nikki Haley was an assemblywoman.
I'd like to see J.B. Pritzker versus Chris Christie in an eating contest.
I'm telling you, all of these people, they all have a look, okay? They all have a look. It's a godless, nervous, unsure of yourself look. Chris Christie has it. He has the tough guy persona. It's nothing. If you stand right up to him, you see how small.
This is a great point to close on right here. This is, I was making this point yesterday, and I want to, you know, that's why it's so important for you when they write these headlines about you to put it in the air. I mean, put it in a damn frame and put it in your living room. You know, that's like a badge of honor with these people. They need to see there's people that are willing to stand up and fight. We're not going to cower when the mobs come after us. We're not going to cower when the corrupt establishment comes up. We're going to grow taller. We're going to be bigger than ever. And then that gives other people the motivation. That gives other people the inspiration. And then that creates this mass movement that we have. But that's the point I want you to close with, because I completely agree. I've seen it myself. When you stand up to these people, when you stand up and you're not intimidated by the fake news, when you stand up and you're not intimidated by the political class, they shrink down to size and you see the puny, pathetic existence that they really are.
They have no skills. They've never created a job. They've never earned a dollar. A lot of these people at a very early age got into the system and they had a void in their life and they wanted to be somebody or be something. So they went along for the ride and now they're just useful puppets. And again, the best thing about these guys who are authentic, Trump, Musk, Vivek, is that when you hear a Kamala Harris talk, when you hear a Nikki Haley talk, when you hear a George Bush or a Barack Hussein Obama talk, when you hear them talk, it's so exposed now. You go, they sound phony. They sound fake. And it's funny because years before that, before charismatic people were getting involved in politics, self-made people, that just seemed like the norm, right? Oh, this is just how politicians are. They're supposed to be buttoned up and they're supposed to have their rehearsed and canned lines. They're supposed to deliver like this and try to do like that. Trump flipped it totally upside down on its head. And we close on this. Why is Trump up in the polls in New Jersey? Why is this the closest election in the state since 1988? The word, Owen, authenticity. Authenticity. The people above all else respect realness and authenticity. That's why they love Trump. That's why they love InfoWars. That's why they're starting to love me. And that's why they love this movement.
Keep it crispy. Keep it crispy. All right, we're halfway through the show. I'm going to get into something here. We'll take calls in the third and final hour, and I'll get some of this other political news. But I really want to highlight something that was a top trend last night. And I was just kind of a little surprised maybe at some of the commentary, and that is about the Tesla Elon Musk event last night where they unveiled their new Optimus robot and the new automatic driving, basically a minivan And so I understand why, you know, people really like Elon Musk, and that's fine. I like Musk too. But we have to be very careful not to get caught up in a cult of personality and then kind of going along with something that normally we wouldn't support. I mean, robots doing everything, robots taking over all the jobs. So, I mean, look, I'm all about weighing the pros and cons of everything. I'm not a Luddite, but I mean, if you don't see the potential problems with this, what, have you not seen any sci-fi movies ever? And then he calls it We Robot, a playoff of iRobot. Well, what's the story of iRobot? And they look like they're from iRobot. It's the robots taking over the world, trying to kill all humans. So I got to tell you, the whole thing was cringy to me. Not a fan personally, but again, it's all these people that normally would probably see stuff like this. But that's what I'm saying. So it's like if it's the Boston Dynamics robots or all these other robots, then it's, oh, this is horrible. This is the worst. This is a threat to humanity. But now it's Elon's robots. Oh, my God, it's the greatest thing ever. Thank you, Elon. Wait, what? Got to be careful. So I'm going to show all these videos, and we'll talk about that in a second. And if you want to call in on that, too, maybe we'll take calls on that in the final hour today, too, when we're taking calls. Folks, remember the alexjonesstore.com, where you can get your limited War Room t-shirt, limited edition. We're going to have a new War Room t-shirt up there soon as well. With every purchase at the Alex Jones Store, you can still get entered for the Monster Truck Raffle. Still ongoing, still eligible. Every purchase at thealexjonesstore.com. Eligible into the Monster Truck Raffle. And so there's some new shirts there. There's some limited edition fundraiser shirts there. There's shirts that were the first shirts ever at InfoWars decades ago there as well as the new shirt. So all kinds of options, not to mention some hats. It's all at thealexjonesstore.com. With every purchase, you are entered into the Monster Truck Raffle, not to mention the brand new CMOS supplement. The CMOS gummies, Ultimate CMOS gummies, on there as well. So that's all happening right now at thealexjonesstore.com. All right, let's just look at some of these videos. I mean, maybe we'll play all of them, but you pretty much get the gist. You pretty much get the gist by just looking at it. So here's the first introduction of the Optimus robot, clip 7.
A robot with arms and legs instead of a robot with wheels. And we've made a lot of progress with Optimus. And as you can see, we started up with someone in a robot suit, sort of that. And then we've progressed dramatically year after year. So if you extrapolate this, you're really going to have something spectacular, something that anyone could own. So you could have your own personal R2-D2 C-3PO. But fundamentally, at scale, the Optimus robot, you should be able to buy an Optimus robot for, I think, probably $20,000 to $30,000 long term. So, and what can it do? It'll basically do anything you want. So it can be a teacher, babysit your kids, it can walk your dog, mow your lawn, get the groceries, just be your friend, serve drinks, whatever you can think of, it will do. And yeah, it's going to be awesome. And I think this will be the biggest product ever of any kind. Yeah. Because I think everyone, of the 8 billion people of Earth, I think everyone's going to want their Optimus buddy. And there's going to be
This is just so nerdy.
And then they'll be
so producing cringy
products and services. I predict, actually, provided we address risks of digital superintelligence, 80% probability of good outcome. Look on the bright side. The cup is 80% full. The cost of products and services will decline dramatically, and basically anyone will be able to have any products and services they want. One of the things we wanted to show tonight
was that Optimus is not a canned video. It's not walled off. The Optimus robots will walk among you. Please be nice to the Optimus robots. So you'll be able to walk right up to them, and they'll serve drinks at the bar.
So I don't want to buy a drink at the bar from a robot. Sorry, not interested. I'll take the bartender. Again, I'm not a Luddite. I'm not inherently against this stuff. This is not the world I want to live in. Sorry. I don't want to live in this world of robots. Not interested. And I'm not so sure most people do. There might come a time. I don't think it's in my time. But again, I look at this, the same people, and it is the same people, that will post the videos, the dystopic videos of the Boston Dynamics robots or these other robots that have been made over the years, these artificial intelligence robots like Sophie, and the same people, they'll post those videos and talk about how bad they are and how dystopic it is and how dangerous it is and how they don't want it. But now that it's Elon's robot, all of a sudden they love him. All of a sudden it's the greatest. All of a sudden they're cheering. Now, I like Elon Musk. I think Elon Musk is a force for good. I think Elon Musk has been good for humanity. I obviously like what he's done on X. But I'm not in a cult of personality here. And, you know, I don't want to get too deep into this latest thing that's going on X, where some people are receiving massive payouts. Tiny little accounts are getting massive payouts. And then monster accounts are getting, like, little payouts. But there's just, you know, there's a little club going on. There's a little club going on, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't even care. I have no problem with any of it. But my point is, let's not just jump on this bandwagon of all of a sudden robots good and robots replacing humans with everything good and robots running civilization good just because it's Elon Musk doing it. I actually don't like it. I found the entire presentation extremely cringy. I found the entire presentation like people just nerding out, which is fine. They've done this for years. They do this at the Apple stuff. They do this at the Microsoft stuff. There's nothing new. It's been going on. But now it's like the same people, and it's literally the exact same people. Every other time a viral robot video doing flips, picking up bricks, whatever it is, it's always bad. It's always dystopian. But now it's great because it's Musk's robot. So that's where I'm at. And then there's the toaster van. Looks like a toaster. Like a self-driving bus. This is crazy. This is like literally out of iRobot, and he calls the project launch We Robot. You ever seen iRobot? That's exactly what the video in iRobot looks like that unloads the robots. And then the robots itself look a lot like the robots from iRobot. If they had a face on it, it would be the exact same thing. Very weird. Very weird. And Elon Musk is kind of like into irony like that. I don't think it's an evil thing. I think it's an ironic thing. That's like his sense of humor. But at the same time, yeah, you seen that movie? It's a pretty great movie. Yeah, you know what happens in that movie? Isn't it like the exact same thing? I mean, look at that. It's like the exact same thing. So... and then they got the videos of the stripper robots. I mean, what is that? I mean, really? Isn't that, I mean, what's the purpose of a robot strip club? And then you've got the bartender robot. I happen to like bartenders. They're usually pretty nice people. But now all of a sudden what? We like jobs getting replaced by robots. You know, one of the biggest side gigs right now is people that drive for these ride shares. So we're just going to replace all that with robots. We're going to replace all that. It's Musk now, so it's good. No, I don't really like this. I don't want to live in a world run by robots. I hope I don't see that. Might be inevitable. Could be inevitable. I don't want it. Do you want robots police? Robots as police roaming the streets? I guess you already got some of them. They look like these R2-D2 things rolling around in New York City and other places. Do you want robots in charge of administrating the mandatory vaccine or whatever else is going on? The government gets involved in this stuff all of a sudden? Yeah, I'm good, actually. So again, the idea, the concept of a robot is not inherently evil. Any technology can be used for good or evil. I'm not a Luddite. There's nothing I can do with the inevitable, but I do think that I'm not gonna sit here in this cult of personality now, and every other robot is dystopian and the Terminator, but now it's Musk's robot, so yay, we love it. Not getting involved in that. Not here. So that's what you have going on. I think we have, I don't know if you guys played all the videos that I sent you of this event, but man, I mean, everybody on X was celebrating it last night. Everybody on X was just enthralled by it. I shouldn't say everybody, it's not everybody, but it's a lot of the same people that would share those other robot videos and talk about how bad it is, but now it's great. And so, no, I'm not a fan. No, really not a fan. Don't want robots to become normalized walking around with us. Don't want to have robots taking over the service sector. Don't want to have robots taking over drivers. Now, again, I will say, we don't live in a high trust society right now. I don't trust the government. I don't trust the establishment. I wouldn't even say I trust Elon Musk. I mean, that doesn't mean he's a bad guy. I don't know him. But yeah, okay, if we had a high trust society and we could have a technology that we knew, you know, automatic drivers or whatever on the road, and it was more efficient and we didn't have traffic anymore, yeah, okay, great. I'm all for that. But let's just not jump into this cult of personality and forget what we're really fighting for here. And there's always been these movies, you know, normalizing the idea of a robot and, oh, it's friendly and it's great, even making it the victim. Is that like the predictive programming? That's the inside of your little robot van. I am not to the point where I would trust an automatic driving car to take me or my family anywhere. Not me. And we have some of them in Austin now. It's pretty wild, actually. And I know in other parts of America, some universities have them full time. You can hop in an automatic driver, it'll take you to your destination. No, thank you. I'm not there yet. I don't know if I'll ever be there. Might be inevitable, but I'm good. So I don't know. I was just like, it was a little creepy to me watching the whole thing. It was a little cringy to me watching the whole thing. And then it was like the cult of personality around Elon. And then today it's like people realizing, oh, you know, they say all these payouts are transparent, but people are realizing none of it makes any sense. It doesn't add up. So again, I'm not saying it's just... Certainly to me, no, I'm not celebrating it. I don't want to live in that world. I don't know. Maybe people in the audience disagree. I do not want to live in the world where robots walk among us, as Elon said. I'm not interested in that world. I guess I don't hate humans as much as others. I guess I don't hate people as much as maybe the next person. Yeah, I'd probably still rather walk around in a room full of liberal Democrats than a room full of robots. Yeah. Now, I don't know. Driving me might be a different story. With a hint of sarcasm there. But I'm not going to do this cult of personality thing. And I'm not going to do this double standard thing where every other robot is the Terminator and dystopian, but Elon's are good. And I'm not going to sacrifice my humanity here dreaming of a world where robots walk among us. Not the world I want to live in. Sorry, not interested. Not me. Don't want to be replaced by a robot. Don't want a robot to replace my bartender, my waiter or waitress, my barber, my driver, my security guard, whatever it is. Nope. Not me. Not me. All right, I got some other political news. We'll leave it at that. We'll take calls on that in the third hour. I'm going to come back and hit some of these other political videos and headlines. We'll open up the phone lines right after this message from Alex Jones.
Just like our information's game-changing and tomorrow's is today, this is probably the ultimate superfood out there from one of the best sources, and it supports the broadcast, A360Win. So get the hoodies, get the T-shirts, check out all the new great designs. New ones being added daily. Get Ultimate Sea Moss. Check out some of the other amazing supplements while you're there at thealexjonesstore.com, and then we're going to be able to stay on air in the face of the new world order. It's amazing. Take action now. Ultimate Sea Moss, 40% off right now at thealexjonesstore.com.
So you know the Kamala Harris campaign and the Democrats are desperate when they're dusting off Barack Obama to come show up for campaign events. And then it's even worse that he's lecturing black men because the poll numbers are switching that black men are actually looking to vote for Donald Trump in this election, which would be devastating for the Democrats, maybe for years in the demographics game. So Barack Obama lecturing black men here in clip three.
Communities is that we have not yet seen the same kinds of energy and turnout in all quarters of our neighborhoods and communities as we saw when I was running. Now, I also want to say that that seems to be more pronounced with the brothers. So if you don't mind, just for a second, I'm going to speak to y'all right now and say that when you have a choice that is this clear. When on the one hand you have somebody who grew up like you, knows you.
Oh yeah, Kamala.
Went to college with you. Understands the struggles and pain and joy.
That's worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Give me a break.
From those experiences. He's had to work harder and do more and overcome and achieves the second highest office in the land.
Now, I've gone long here, so I'll come back in the next segment and show you some of the response. This did not go well. But I had to make an observation here. There's one of two things that are happening. One is Barack doesn't want to be doing this. This is not the charismatic, influential, powerful Barack Obama that we're used to. So he either doesn't want to be doing this and is disinterested and is just doing it because he has to for politics or whatever, or they're begging him to. Or, and this is actually what I see, but it's either disinterest or, I mean, folks, these people are scared. That looks like a scared man. Does it not? That looks like a scared man. So I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's an Epstein tape. I don't know if it's a Diddy tape. I don't know if it's he's committed so many crimes. Maybe all three. These people look scared. So Barack Obama, you can tell, he is either scared, he is truly scared, or he's just completely disinterested and really does not care. But as we go to break, here's a word salad he delivered at a speech for Kamala. By the way, Kamala wasn't there, but here's him, clip two.
The tweets in all caps, the ranting and the raving about crazy conspiracy theories. Yeah, the 2-hour speeches, word salad, just, you know, it's like Fidel Castro, just on and on. Constant attempts to sell you stuff.
So this has not gone well. This Barack Obama lecturing black men, you have to vote Democrat, you have to vote Kamala. So I'm glad he's doing this. It's only destroying his own reputation. So whether he's doing this out of fear of Donald Trump winning for whatever reason, or he's just disinterested and doesn't really care, he's just going through the motions. This is on CNN. A black woman responding to Barack Obama on CNN in clip four.
Why are black men being lectured to? Why are black men being belittled in ways that no other voting group?
A tour of media to appeal to men.
They need to appeal to the needs of the voters. And so when I was a delegate for President Obama in both of his elections in Ohio, right now the vice president is down 11 points in Ohio, even though I fully expect President Trump to take Ohio as he did twice. But to be down 11 points compared to President Biden, that is a problem. But this other issue I want to bring up is a problem, too. Why are black men being lectured to? Why are black men being belittled in ways that no other voting group? Now, a lot of love for former President Obama, but for him to single out black men is wrong. And some of the black men that I have talked to have their reasons why they want to vote a different way. And even
Trump.
If some of us may not
Say
like
Trump.
That, we have to respect it. So unless President Barack Obama is going to go out and lecture every other group of men from other identity groups, my message for Democrats is don't bring it here to black men who, by and large, don't vote much differently from black women. And why, as a politician, we should be trying to get all voters to vote. And hopefully there are a few good men out there who do care about the stripping away of some of women's bodily autonomy.
Oh, yeah.
But
only
this
the good
is wrong
men vote
for President
for
Obama.
Democrats.
It is a wrong course
shaming,
for the Harris
so now she's Walt shaming black men too.
To lay at the feet of black
Isn't
men.
That ironic?
They have their reasons. In 2020, the vice president was labeled a cop, as we know.
But do you think, sorry to interrupt you, Nina, but do you think he's right? That some of the reason, one of the reasons, is because they don't like the idea of.
It might be some. Listen, black men are socialized in the same society as any other man. So yes, is misogyny may be a part of it. But again,
now,
is President Obama and is the Harris Waltz campaign going to lecture other male groups in the same way that they're lecturing black?
So here she is standing up, saying, "How dare you lecture black men how to vote?" But then she also at the same time scolds the black men that won't vote Democrat. So she can't go all the way. She you know, she kind of dipped her toe in the water, but she couldn't go all the way. And she couldn't say Trump either. So, but still, I mean, you know, she's right. She's right. And what is she right about? She's right about this idea that, like Joe Biden said, you're not black unless you vote Democrat. It's a quote from Joe Biden. It's this idea that you're still slaves to the Democrat Party plantation. Don't you, you're not free. Don't you leave this plantation. And it's Barack Obama. He's supposed to be one of you black guys. He's supposed to be one of the brothers. And it's him getting up there and henpecking you saying, get back in line, black boy. Get back on the plantation, black boy. And it's Obama doing that. I'm glad he did, because he just exposed himself. But I'm telling you, he looks either scared or disinterested. You also had former Democrat out of Georgia, Vernon Jones, responding to this today. But what about Charles Barkley? This is as simple as it needs to be put in clip five.
Listen to what he says.
My entire life. My entire life. And I'm starting to think, like, man, everybody in my hometown is still poor.
Yeah.
Man, all the black neighborhoods are still poor. They all go into schools, and we've been voted Democratic for 59 years. I've been on the earth.
Tough for it.
He goes on, but yeah, that's the idea. They realize we've been voting Democrat, and things have only gotten worse for us. Maybe we'll vote for Trump. And here comes Barack Obama. And he says, get back on that plantation, boy. Oh, yeah, he's really one of you with $100 million in the Martha Vineyard mansion. Yeah. All right, we're in the third and final hour of this week's War Room. I want to take calls here in this hour. We'll get the rest of the news out as well. But let's open up the phone lines. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. Number is on the screen. Anything we've discussed today is fair game. All right, let's get a couple other stories out here. Man, we had another clip of Tim Walz's wife from yesterday. I forgot to carry it over. This woman is about as cringy as it gets. It's just horrible. But let's go to Walz himself first. He gets the interview on the ABC News morning show with Michael Strahan. Let's see if he can figure something out. Let's see if he can do something positive for the campaign. Shall we? Clip 17.
I want to go back to something you said on Tuesday. You said, I think all of us know the Electoral College needs to go. But the campaign came out later that night, and they said that's not their stance. Yeah.
Well, it's not the campaign's position. And the point I'm trying to make is that there's folks that feel every vote must count in every state. Mm-hmm. And I think some of folks feel that's not the case. Our campaign does that. And the point I'm saying is I'm in five states in 2 days. We're out there making the case that the campaign's position is clear, that that's not their position. Their position and my position is to make sure that everybody understands their vote, no matter what state they're in, matters.
So that's something that you and Vice President Harris disagree on?
I have spoken about it in the past that she's been very clear on this, and the campaign and my position is the campaign's position.
So you didn't answer the question, though. That's the campaign. Well, what do you believe? Well, it's the campaign. So do you and Kamala Harris disagree? I'm with the campaign, but you said to abolish the Electoral College. I go around the state and I talk about the campaign. This guy is such a joke. And then there's his wife. So do we have the one from yesterday? So remember, I forget, it was, I think she's in Michigan. Remember when she did that weird thing and she looked, I mean, it was weird. Again, you want to talk about weird. These are the people. And so the turn the page thing, she's brought it back. I mean, it was so great. It was so wonderful the first time. She's brought it back yesterday on the campaign, guys. Go ahead.
We are turning the page. Did you see her do that? Yeah. Can you do it with me? We are turning the page on Donald Trump. Yep. We are turning the page on Project 2025.
Not his.
And we are turning the page to a new way forward. Forward to a future where everyone can live with freedom.
Oh, my gosh. Turning the page on Donald Trump. Oh, is he the president right now? And she does it like this is a first grade classroom. Okay, students, do it with me now. Turn the page. And all the schleps in the crowd actually do it. Oh, cool. Turn the page. Ooh. We need it. We need the plastic politics for Democrats. This is out of control. Then she breaks into song and dance in clip 22.
Whole thing. I do. When the Scarlet Team comes on the field, we will all stand up and cheer. To the other team, we'll never yield, and we won't forget we're here. We will fight for victory and win. We will conquer every...
Has there ever been anything in politics less serious than this? Has there ever been anything in politics more cringy than this? Okay. That was in Michigan. I believe this is also Kid Rock in Michigan with Tucker Carlson. Who did the song and dance better? Walz's wife or Kid Rock and Tucker Carlson in clip 24? Now, you think you've seen peak cringe. You think you have reached critical cringe with this Kamala Harris campaign, but they'll never stop. They'll never stop trying to reach new levels of cringe. Now, look, it's hard to believe that this is even real, folks. It's hard to believe that they even put this ad out and this is real. And I'm even sitting here telling you, I can't even believe it's real. This is your new Kamala Harris ad campaign. I guess going after men to convince men they need to vote for a woman. Peak cringe. This is now the new record high of cringe. Brace yourselves. Brace yourselves. Clip 10.
I'm a man.
I'm a man.
I'm a man, man.
And I'm man enough.
I'm man enough to enjoy a barrel-proof bourbon.
Neat. Man enough to cook my steak rare.
Man enough to deadlift 500 and braid the shit out of my daughter's hair.
You think I'm afraid to rebuild a carburetor? I eat carburetors for breakfast.
I ain't afraid of bears.
That's what bear hugs are for.
I'll tell you another thing I sure as shit am not afraid of. Women.
I'm not afraid of women.
I'm not afraid of women.
They want to control their bodies? I say go for it.
They want to use IVF to start a family? I'm not afraid of families.
They want to be childless cat ladies?
Have all the cats you want.
Woman wants to be president?
Well, I hope she has the guts to look me right in the eye and accept my full-throated endorsement.
Because I'm man enough to support women.
Man enough to know what kind of donuts I like.
Man enough to admit I'm lost, even when I refuse to ask for directions.
Man enough to not ban young women from reading Little Women.
Or one of those pants books that the sisters like.
I'm man enough to raw dog a flight. It sucked. Not worth it.
Ben, I'm man enough to be emotional in front of my wife.
In front of my kids.
In front of my horse.
I'm man enough to tell you that I cry at Love Actually.
Goodwill Hunting.
West Side Story.
That and Predator.
And I'm sick of so-called men domineering, belittling, and controlling women just so they can feel more powerful.
That's not how my mama raised me.
I love women. I love women who support their families.
Women who decide not to have families.
Women who take charge.
And I'm man enough to help them win.
Man up. Vote Harris. I mean, again, I'm sitting here. Can that even be real? I mean, can that even be real? What are they going to do next, folks? That's it. That's your new record cringe. That's your new record high for political cringe. They'll break it again before the election. But how do you top that? That was not meant to be a pun. I'm sorry. I apologize. That was not meant to be a pun. Ended up being a pretty good one, though, if I'm being honest. Because I'm sure there were a lot of tops and bottoms in that political ad, I'm sure. Dominated by them, if you will. My goodness. Okay. You got to just kind of hit the reset button. All right. Donald Trump, he understands. I swear, somebody in his campaign is either listening to this show or telling him, because this is the truth. What is the real threat to democracy? Clip 21.
You see, that's the real threat to democracy, stupid people. That's the threat. Our biggest threat to democracy is stupid people.
He's right. He's right. Stupid people get to vote. And they mostly vote Democrat, by the way. Now, here he is talking about policy. And see, this is the approach. When you get into all these economic debates, this is the right approach. Not, oh, I was in a middle-class family. I want the rich to pay their fair share. We're going to go after price gouging. All of that is bullcrap. You want to fix the economy? You start at the roots. What are the roots? Energy. Trump gets it. Clip 25.
Yeah, I will cut the price of energy and electricity in half. Ready? 12 months from January 20th, I take office on January 20th, your electric bill, including cars, air conditioners, heating, everything, your total electric bill will be 50% less. We're going to cut it in half. And we have it. We have the power to do it because we have it. We don't need ships. We don't need long train. We have everything. We're going to have to build some pipelines because we can't transport it. But that's easy to do. And that's safer than trains. But we're going to get this done. And you're going to have within 1 year, think of it, within 1 year, you're going to have electric bills and energy bills and your gasoline for your car is going to be 5-0, 50% cheaper than it is right now. That's a big thing. That's a big thing. But we will seriously expedite our environmental approvals. I will expedite them. If I have to, I'll just approve them and approve them, because they use that. You know, they use the environmental approvals to stop progress and quickly double our electricity capacity. And we're going to have it doubled and tripled. This will drive down inflation and make America and Michigan the best place on earth to build a factory.
That's the approach right there. And you can get into tariffs and everything else and cutting taxes, and that's all good too. But no, that's the approach. Lower energy costs, and then everything else follows. Donald Trump also issued this scathing statement on 60 Minutes, not on 60 Minutes, I should say about 60 Minutes last night. 60 Minutes is a major part of the news organization of CBS, which has just created the greatest fraud in broadcast history. CBS should lose its license, and it should be bid out to the highest bidder, as should all other broadcast licenses, because they are just as corrupt as CBS and maybe even worse. To the highest bidder, is that a reference to something maybe going on? Interesting. They're trying to sell us out to the highest bidder, but of course, they're the fake news. They're the liars. They're the defamers. They're the libelers, the slanderers, the swindlers, the deceivers, the propagandists. Not us, them. Yeah, should the InfoWars standard be held to the real fake news? By the way, they put Kamala Harris on the cover of Vogue. Jeez. Not Melania Trump, the fashion icon, the model, one of the most beautiful women in the world. No, Kamala gets the cover of Vogue. Just like Nancy Pelosi got the cover of Vogue. It looks like death warmed over. And they're saying that the image is either AI or just completely airbrushed. So I don't know. I guess did Kamala Harris find time to do a Vogue photo shoot? Because there's multiple photos. Did Kamala Harris have the time to do a Vogue photo shoot while there was hurricanes hitting America? Did she find the time for a Vogue photo shoot? Is that what she's been doing? But they're saying that the cover shot and the other shots in the print are actually either AI or airbrushed, and it looks fake to these people that do photo shoots. Wouldn't put it past them. Everything they do is phony. So, and then it's just like the CBS interview that they had to cut up 100 times just to make her look halfway decent. What do you guys think? That's highly edited, for sure. That is a, what is that? Yeah. She has horns? They gave her the horns? Wait, put that on again. I didn't notice that. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. They did. They literally gave her horns. Wow. That's crazy. And then those are the famous earrings from the debate that everybody thinks were the speaker earrings. The microphone walkie-talkie earrings. Does that look real or fake to you guys? Looks pretty fake to me. So people are saying that's either highly airbrushed or it's just straight up AI. Or maybe, hey, maybe Kamala Harris should, you know, she had time for a photo shoot while hurricanes were killing people. All right, let's take some calls. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's start with Daryl in North Carolina. I am curious what people think about this one. Daryl in North Carolina, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Owen, thanks. Yeah, I'm looking at this Elon Musk optimist thing. I'm going back in my memory, so let me get this straight. Elon Musk, he's running Twitter, X. He's got the Tesla car company. He's got the SpaceX rocket. Now he's got these Optimus robots flying out. The dude hosted Saturday Night Live like a pro. I mean, he's got 10 kids with multiple women. Seriously, how many Elon Musk are there?
I think he's got like 13 kids now.
How is this possible? I mean, you go back in history on the great human beings of history. No one could come close to this guy, and he's still what? Is he 50 yet? So I'm having a hard time logically. And I love his personality. I love that he's pulling for Trump.
So your conspiracy theory is there's multiple Elon Musks,
or either that, or he's already got like his army of robots that he has doing all this stuff, or he's a time traveler, or he's an alien. I just can't see how a normal human being guy can do all this in one lifetime. How is it possible? Please explain it to me.
Well, it is pretty wild, and he also spends a lot of time posting on X, too.
Yeah, the guy's everywhere, 24/7, and then, you know, every other day he comes out with groundbreaking thing that you just blows your mind. And I have to disagree with you, Owen. If I have a choice to go into a room full of liberals or a room full of robots, I'm going with the robots.
Well, what's the difference?
Well, the robots will be programmed with a normal speaking mind. I mean, hey, I want my own C-3PO or R2-D2. I think
you want the Optimus.
Cool.
Would you pay $30,000 for an Optimus?
Totally. I'm a Star Wars guy, man. And Luke with the R2-D2, that was his buddy. R2 saved his butt a bunch of times, and I'd go for it.
Okay. All right.
But I don't know. I just can't buy it. I mean, I'm just feeling inadequate as a man, but dude, how does one guy do all of this stuff? It's just,
well, I'll tell you what, let me just actually entertain the question. I'm sure he has somebody that cooks all of his meals. I'm sure he has somebody that handles most of his child care. And I don't mean that as an insult to him. I'm just answering the question. So he has people that probably cook and clean for him, take care of his kids. I'm sure he has somebody that schedules all of his stuff as well. He's basically said he never sleeps more than 8 hours. He tries to get 6. I'm sure he has private jets so it's easy to travel. But that doesn't take away from the phenomenon that is his ability to accomplish so many things. So I don't know. Interesting. I've seen people that can do a lot. I've seen people that do a lot. I do a lot. Trump does a lot. But yeah, I mean, Musk seems to be at max capacity, max operational capacity. Maybe he's a robot, you know? Maybe he's the first robot. All right, Daryl, that's interesting. This is an interesting topic. I was wondering what people would think about that. Let's go to Roger in Texas. I guess Daryl took it a different direction. Roger in Texas, you're on the air.
Yeah, Owen, I couldn't agree with you more. Elon and his robots will be bad in the long run for humanity. And I got a couple comments on this as well. First comment is people who are going to be put out of work. Now, case in point, COVID, when so many people were laid off from their jobs and collecting their little COVID checks, they got fat, stupid, and lazy. My plant didn't shut down, so I could be driving to work at 6 in the morning any day of the week and see parties still raging in the neighborhood of people who just had nothing to do but drink and party any day of the week. Then when we tried to hire these people after they stopped getting their COVID checks, they were worthless employees. They had just become – we had about a 90% a failure rate trying to train these people because they had just become so out of tune with humanity at that point and what's required of a human to go to work every day. Second point, my wife had a good comment. She said, well, if these neo-communist liberals don't want to finish the wall at the border, well, Trump and Elon need to go ahead and have these robots act as border bouncers on the war and throw them right over the fence or throw them right back over the border.
Yeah, yeah. Put 10,000 optimists at the border then if we don't put the military.
Optimists or those little dogs.
Should we give them whips?
Around.
Should we give them the whips too?
Yeah, why not? We tried that once with the Border Patrol. We might as well give it let's give it another try.
Give them an electric whip. How about that? It'll come right out of their arm.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Good point. But anyway,
can't call them racist.
That's true.
Although they will. I guess a robot could be programmed to be racist. They'll probably say it. They'll probably say that.
Well, they'll say the guy who put it on the border was racist. So they'll always come back, you know, to Trump or somebody of a conservative nature. But anyway, that's all I got for you, Owen. And we've met a few times and I was hoping you were going to have another summer party this year, but I didn't see one listed, but maybe next year.
All right, Roger, thank you for the call. We'll stay on topic here. A lot of people want to talk about that. Let's go to Jay in Massachusetts. Jay, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Owen. So I want to talk about how people are looking at Elon Musk right now as Mr. Cool. You know, he's on the Rogan, like you said, Saturday Night Live, all these things. But when you look at Elon Musk, he might actually be the fox in the hen house. Because when you look at the Hills, you've done wonderful by covering the North Carolina Helene. But there's a company called Piedmont Lithium that's moving in there that got a grant from the government. And when you look at Piedmont Lithium, they're actually one of Tesla's suppliers of lithium. So could he be the good cop, bad cop up there supplying the Starlinks, being Mr. Good Guy, but actually has the interest in there? So that brings us back to independence of America. Like, we want to be independent. So would Trump and the Republicans want to actually get that lithium so we don't have to rely on China? It's just collateral damage for an economical war of the future.
Well, look, I do think Elon Musk is his own man. I think there's no doubt about that in my eyes. I don't think he's inherently evil. Now, that doesn't mean he might not be making business decisions and other decisions with all the interests he has. But yeah, top seller of electric vehicles. You need the lithium for the batteries. The batteries need replaced in a finite amount of time. So, I don't know. Interesting point.
With the brown people, this is how you do it. You take their property. 50 years, probably generational property have been lost in places like Florida because you can't rebuild those places because of codes. They can't afford it. They end up selling their land at the price of the dirt. Now the BlackRock will move in, build up the 20-foot-high luxury places for only the rich people. And now generational property is gone. So it's Trump is an old-school American. I think he means, well, he's not the Antichrist. I think the Antichrist might be Elon Musk.
All right, Jay, thank you for the call. I don't think that's the case with Musk. But I just look at this as, at the very least, we have a situation where the tides of politics, the paradigm of politics are changing, and I don't think Musk and Trump are the be-all, end-all. Certainly not. But they're part of this. They're part of the beginning, I would say. I think the end will be with us, the people. You know, isn't it amazing? And this barely even scratches the surface, but it's just the list. You have an Afghan man who worked for the CIA who was flown in. That's now confirmed. He was flown in by the Biden administration, who was planning an ISIS terror attack on Election Day. He's been arrested. You've had two assassination attempts of Donald Trump. You had a Pakistani man who was planning political assassinations get arrested at the airport. You had a man that was at Trump Tower with three guns and huge heavy ammunition. That barely scratches the surface. And yet the American media and your politicians just act like it's business as usual with 25 days till the election. I mean, what? This isn't business as usual. Something else is going on here, isn't it? Something else is going on, but they don't want to talk about it. It's now just completely confirmed that Kamala Harris and Joe Biden stood down the National Guard. Here's one individual who was on the ground talking about it in clip 11.
And then also from that video, I started getting a lot of messages, like, to my Instagram from, like, actual, like, aircraft commanders, like squadron commanders.
No kidding.
I had a squadron commander from North Carolina reach out to me. They had to load a C-17 full of supplies just to take a photo op for Kamala, and they never sent the bird.
Wait a minute, what?
They loaded an entire C-17 full of supplies for the hurricane victims just for Kamala to go there, take a photo, take a video. And they never sent the C-17.
It was just a full. Are you serious?
Yeah, that was a National Guard, North Carolina National Guard unit. That was an 06 that reached out to me. And then I had another.
He reached out to you to tell you that they did a photo op and with the intention of never sending.
Never sending. It was just a photo op.
Wow. Says a lot. But we knew that all along, didn't we? Culinary Union in Nevada warns state could go red. Now, this was reported in Politico. Also, our friend over at the Nevada Globe is digging into this. We're going to have her on next Tuesday. Now, I've been saying Nevada's going to go red, and I've been explaining why. But now they're realizing, yeah, it's the service industry. The Democrats realized it, too. That's why Kamala Harris stole the no tax on tips from Trump. They realized it. They had the same political numbers that I got. They know the same schematic that I tell you. And that's where this election, I still believe, is going to be won or lost. Now, it could be nullified if Trump somehow pulls off New Jersey, which I think might be in play. But assuming that stays blue, this election is going to be won or lost in Nevada, specifically Las Vegas. So the Culinary Union is panicking because, you know, they know all these people in Las Vegas that work in, you know, restaurants and everything else working for tips. They're voting Trump. But we're going to have more of a deep dive on that next week with the writer at the Nevada Globe digging into this. Because that's going to be the state, I'm telling you. That is going to be the state, is Nevada. Turns out Anthony Blinken is the one that approved the policy to bomb the aid trucks in Gaza. Now, there's some back and forth. It's basically the Israeli cabinet that's saying, no, Blinken told us to do that. So, I mean, either way, it's all evil. We give the weapons and the green light to Israel, and then we come in and give the aid to the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip, and then we give them the green light to bomb them too. Meanwhile, an American journalist is being held in an Israeli prison just for doing journalism. One of 11 currently, there's multiple, actually. The numbers are debated. Jeremy Lofredo with Gray Zone is in an Israeli prison with other journalists. So you're not allowed to do journalism. You're not allowed to report on what's going on. You're not allowed to fly a drone. The Israeli military arrests you and disappears you. Nobody talking about that, though. Nobody talking about that, American. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? All right. We're going to go back to the phone lines. Folks, remember thealexjonesstore.com, all the T-shirts, the limited edition War Room T-shirt. We're going to have another T-shirt up there soon as well. You have the old InfoWars T-shirts, the new InfoWars T-shirts. You get the entries into the Monster Truck raffle as well. That's still live at thealexjonesstore.com. And don't forget about the new CMOS gummies and also the new drink mix that is there as well. Great for your health, all at thealexjonesstore.com. Now, a quick programming note before we go to the calls and close out this show for the week. Quick programming note. Monday, I will not be in studio Monday. I'm hoping to host some of the show. I doubt I'll be able to do the whole show from the road, but we'll be hosting some of the show. So stay tuned, but won't be in studio on Monday. We're going to be at the University of South Carolina for a political debate. Me versus the Omni-Liberal Destiny. It's going to be a 90-minute debate, mostly about this upcoming election. And so we're going to have the links for that at InfoWars.com. We're hoping to do the live stream. It will be streamed live. We'll either have a link to the live stream or we'll stream it live ourself. So stay tuned for that. So not going to be in studio Monday. Hope to be with you at least for part of the show, but we will be in South Carolina. If you want to get tickets or more information on this event, go to uncensoredamerica.us, uncensoredamerica.us, and we will see you Monday. So hoping to host at least some of the show, but won't be in studio. And then maybe we'll see some of you in South Carolina as well. Oh, my gosh. Is that going to be something? All right. All right. Let's finish it out this week with your calls. A lot of people on the Elon story with these robots. And we got some other things as well. Let's go to Sherry in Texas. Sherry, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Oh, and hot dog, good to hear you, boy. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
Well, I tell you what, it was a long stint waiting on you to get out to the jailhouse, but I'm glad nothing bad went for you there. But anyway, back on Elon. as a Christian with discernment, you have to have your eyes open, and everybody's are right now, all the way to Alex Jones. Everybody better pay attention. You can go back and you can research what the letter X breaks down to, and sadly it goes back to a lot of satanic stuff. X is just a number that's representative of it, right? Okay, back to Elon. Let's go. Let's break it down. I'm going to do it pretty fast, folks. You got Gen X. You got Disease X. You got SpaceX. Twitter is now X. You got Elon Musk that has on the picture of Baphomet in his little icon there on X. I was banned from X back in 2019. They still hadn't let me on, even Elon. So anyway, that's neither here nor there. That was the Patriot Purge of 2019. I'm sure everybody listening remembers that. So anyway, you got Elon's got Baphomet on his chest. Now, when you go to messing around with Satan, you got to go just willy-nilly and accept some things. So when you go follow him, guess what? You just got to be following Baphomet on the front of his picture. Next, you got biblically, fire will rain down from the heavens. Now, I'm not saying this is the fire in particular that the Bible's talking about, but if you want to look at his rockets that are coming down in a sort of a technical sort of way, that is fire coming down from the heavens. A lot of people don't know it. Elon Musk also has a scar that would almost look like it was a deadly wound on the side of his head. He was not wounded. Elon Musk has had a scalp transplant for hair growth. That's what he says that scar is from.
Well, didn't he actually admit that? Didn't he actually make a joke about that?
Yeah, he did. But, you know, us Christian folk are out here and we're like, oh, hell, way down just a minute. Now, this is where it gets a little bit transition-y down there on X now. A lot of people didn't know it, but most people know now that he had a daughter, and his daughter ended up being transitioned into a male. Now, Elon says he was fooled. Now, you're talking about one of the premier geniuses of our time was fooled about the genealogy and the body parts about his child. So
well, I don't think he was saying he was fooled about it. I think he was saying he was fooled. He had too much trust in the system, I think is what he's saying.
Well, yeah, I can see that, but you got to realize, you know, these kids are going, they're reaching out, and then more so they have counselors that are reaching out to them, but these counselors are twisted. You know, when you go in and you're heavy on one side with this transition stuff, and all it takes from a counselor is the one wrong sentence for your child, but the one right sentence for the counselor to end up putting your kid in the scene.
Well, look, they don't even let these groups show up. They don't even let these groups show up to the childhood, the pediatric conferences. If anybody there is against trans and kids, they kick you out. They ban you for life. So it's definitely an agenda. I do think that at least from the cultural aspect, what they did to Elon's kid has sent him again. I mean, he really is against the woke mind virus, and it could be. I mean, he probably doesn't want these people working for him. He doesn't want them anywhere near his kids. So, you know, they do that to your kid. I think that, you know, that's real. That's definitely as real as it gets. All right, Sherry, thank you for the call. Let's go to James in California. James, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yo, Owen. You know, before the Elon thing, I just want to say real quick, with that Afghan ISIS and that Pakistan guy, dude, what was I saying before that story broke? I swear to God, everyone was like, all the neocon conservative talking points were like, Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah. And I was like, dude, it's going to be ISIS that's going to start popping off in our country, and boom, it happened, dude. Like, I swear, ever since I've been watching this show last year, like, I've been getting these direct downloads, and I have these feelings. But, so... You know, this isn't the last we're going to see of ISIS. All right, it's going to pop off because I think Trump is going to, like, win it. And we're dealing with complete dirtbag Democrats that want power so bad that they are going to definitely, like, you know. And it's sad because I wish we had just a two-party system where we can disagree and agree on certain things, you know what I mean? But we're dealing with people that hate us. And so, okay, so that's my first point. I just want to And with this thing with Elon, listen, I would go as far to say he's benevolent. I think he's not a bad force. I think he's just a nerdy, smart guy who's like wants to use the best of human ability with technology. But just know that this robot stuff is going to get so advanced that they're going to be able to, like, you know, crack skulls with their hands, and the AI is going to be integrated to where we can't tell what's real or not, and it's going to turn into this, like, techno demon, like, hellscape, you know what I mean? So that's just what I wanted to say real quick.
Yeah, I mean, if you've seen the movie iRobot, and there's all kinds of different sci-fi films that obviously talk about, you know, Terminator, all this other stuff. But I mean, there's a reason why Elon Musk did this reveal and called it We Robot, because it clearly goes along the plot lines of iRobot, unlike any other big robot reveal or presentation or anything like that. And thank you for the call, James. I mean, it's crazy. They look like it, and the cars, I mean, even that car looks like the car from the movie. I mean, it's a great movie, so I don't know. Maybe he's just like, hey, I really like this movie. I'm going to make this whole theme based off of this movie. I think it's a great movie. So maybe he just does. I mean, the automatic driving van bus thing that he rolls out, exactly like the delivery system in the movie iRobot. And that's probably the more accurate breakdown where, yeah, you build these robots that are highly advanced and actually good. They're not inherently bad. They're good and they help us, but you have the centralized AI system that takes over and then turns them against humanity and says, no, it's for your own good, which is the logic of the management class that wants to control the population. So that's the danger. And it's all right out of the movie. I mean, Elon Musk gets it. He talks about it. But sorry, I'm not a nerd. I'm not excited by this stuff. I don't want to live in that world. Might be inevitable. I don't want to live in it. Let's go to Max in Wisconsin, and then we'll move on if we have time for other calls. Max, well, we got a couple on this still. Max, go ahead.
Hey, Big O. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to disagree with a lot of you. And, you know, I kind of embrace the new robots to do these menial tasks that are holding us back. Like before the Industrial Revolution, 1 in 5 Americans were like farming all the time. And with the combine and in these big mega machines for farming, we were able to free all those people. And yeah, there was a rough transition period, but then they were all able to go to school or explore other things.
Yeah, but now we don't know how to farm.
I do agree there needs to be, pardon?
Now most people don't know how to farm. They don't even know where food comes from.
Yes, but, like, you know, our production is way better. And, like, I work in a dimension where it's just nonstop filth and destruction, and many other men nowadays. And I think, like, dirty jobs should be, like, the first to go, you know, and there's nothing wrong with having, like, one
person. Are you a sanitation worker?
No, I do construction, but there's a lot of, like, demolition and rebuilding. Okay. And construction workers have the highest suicide rate now, you know, and at least to have help. To get the tough stuff out of the way, you know, and then the more trade and difficult things, you know, can be done. And I think it would be great. It'd be more productive, a good solve to inflation. I do agree with you. There needs to be like multiple big ass off buttons on that thing, you know, that you can just turn that thing off and, you know, safety measures put into place that like we don't have some like, you know, some hacker take over it and then it program it to murder its owner or something. You know, there needs to be fail safes put into place to prevent that. But I think, you know, we, especially now post corona, we kind of need more help in America because it would also be a solve to the immigration crisis. We don't need to bring in immigrants anymore, you know, and plus,
because they're going to accept that. You know,
well, we wouldn't
better
have to bring
that.
Them in anymore, you know,
there, no, you and, know better than that.
I think they'd make way better teachers, you know, especially considering what we have now. And it doesn't necessarily need to be a replacement, just like in the Industrial Revolution with the farming
equipment.
Look,
I think you bring up good points. I think it's a fair debate. I think you bring up good points. But I would ask it to you like this. do you want to live in that world? I mean, aside from you say it will help you on your job in construction, I don't doubt it. But do you want to live in the world where robots walk among us?
I think it's an inevitability. And, you know, in the
But what if it's not for 100 years?
I think it can be done way sooner.
It likely will be. It'll probably be. Honestly, I don't want to see it, but I will probably see it. It'll probably be within 20 years.
You know, and also, I think it would be also safer for police and military to have at least some sort of contingent. Like I said, I'm not saying replace all humans with robots, but I think a person in control of the machine is way better than just a person alone or a machine alone. I just think it's more efficient to have one person at a construction site, for example, commanding 20 robots instead of having 20 workers. And then it's sad for them because they're all burnt out at the end of the day, repairing after hurricanes or whatever, and they don't get to live their life with their wife and kids. You know,
so yeah, there's obviously going to be advantages, and we can talk about jobs being replaced and maybe new jobs are created, but there's no doubt there will be advancements, and it's inevitable. I would say it's definitely inevitable. I don't want to live in that world, but it's probably inevitable. I'm going to see it.
I think I'm a big critic of Elon Musk too, you know, and I think he's a convert. He's converted since they messed up his kid and sterilized his kid, and then plus his brother having, you know, the vax bioweapon attack, you know, who I think maybe is Adrian Vindman, his brother. But anyway, I think the Baphomet thing he had on his chest was like Alexander the Great and a lot of other people. They would put things on their chest, on the armor, to scare away their enemy. Alexander the Great put Medusa on his chest. He didn't worship Medusa. It was just something you did with an armor. You don't put like teddy bears and gumdrops on it. You know, so I think that's what he was going for. And plus he was, I think, more in that culture. He was dating Grimes, you know, he was all in it. But once they go after your kids and they go after, you know, the health of your family, I've seen it many times, and you know, you've seen it when you went to jail. When they come after you, it changes your whole perspective because it makes it so much more real.
All right, Max, great call. You know, I think here's the more philosophical question, because I'll think about it. I mean, I don't know. I guess a talk show host could be replaced by a robot. I guess anything could be replaced by a robot. But, okay, where's something where I would say, yeah, okay, I could see that being applied with, you know, AI or automated driving, robots, what have you, and maybe I would like that. If you took a look at driving or traffic, now I like driving. I like driving my car around. I hate traffic, but look at it from this standpoint. If you could reduce traffic and even traffic accidents, car accident fatalities, almost to nothing, let's say, almost to nothing with everything being automated on the road. Let's say you could actually do that and reduce everything almost to zero with automated driving, but still there would be fatalities and still there would be accidents. Is that worse if it's all automated? Somebody dies in a car accident in an automated system than dying when it's just people doing it? I mean, so it's kind of just like, you could say, well, yeah, but there's less traffic accidents. But yeah, but it was an error. So then does somebody get sued? We're probably going to have to deal with all of this. We'll probably all actually have to deal with this. I'm guessing within 20 years, this is all going to be the big debate about civilization, and it's all going to be rolled out right in front of us. So I guess you could say I'd rather have Elon Musk doing it than, you know, Bill Gates, certainly. Let's go to John in Georgia. John, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Owen, my guy. Thanks for having me.
Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to talk about the robot. And unfortunately, you almost feel like as a citizen of America, some of these things are out of really our control, right? It's kind of like having Kamala. Who the hell chose her, right? That's out of our control. So whether we buy it or not, I mean, that's probably the deciding factor. So really, I think that the robots are one of those things that, you know, I don't personally like it, so I side with you on this. And I feel like once you kind of open, crack Pandora's box on it, it's just going to be, it's going to be crazy. And so I guess maybe that's my old school mentality on it. But not all tech is good tech. And I think that, remember a while back when Elon's like sidekick, even if there's AI robot was talking to him, it sounded just like him on X.
You're talking about Adrian Dittman, who claims to be
that
a
guy.
Different person.
Right. I remember mentioning, like, you know, we don't want the new tech, or we really don't want it. We just want to be, you know, all productive human beings in society, raise our families, you know, just follow God, follow Christ as best as we can.
Well, I think here's what's inevitable, and I think this is what the big difference with the presentation last night, and I'm out of time, John, but I thank you for the call. What we're talking about here is this robot is going to be at a consumer level in the year 2027, they say, for $20,000, $30,000. So people are going to buy it. It's going to be in houses by the end of this decade. That means it's going to be being bought by government agencies, police officers will be replaced. I mean, everything. This is now inevitable. That's basically what that represented last night. You can buy these things $20,000, $30,000 a pop. Not everybody, but some people are going to start buying them. And then slowly but surely, it's all going to be integrated. It's kind of separate, I think, from the automated driving cars and maybe even all of traffic being automated. But, that's basically what we're faced with now. Within 10 years, this is all going to be normalized. You'll know somebody that has a robot that cleans their house and God knows what else. All right. That does it for this week's InfoWars War Room. If I see you in South Carolina Monday, can't wait.